Brian Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
I just had a bowl of bourbon and some crackers, and they ain't laying right there.
What do you do?
I'm a communicator.
It must be a new kind of thing.
I want to thank Brian Noonan for going on.
Holy s***! Brian's back!
Boogie.
I'm glad you're with us, Brian Noonan, 720 WGN, and for Nick D, the next couple mornings, Nick is taking the holiday off, but Tom is still here. I am shocked and amazed and grateful. Tom Hush, executive producer of the big broadcast, in the booth. If you call in to 312-981-7200, you will be talking to Tom. If you are nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. And yes, it is Thursday morning, and you may be thinking, well, Nick's not here. We probably don't have Triple Play Thursday anymore. Oh, no, that's not necessarily true. You can call or text, and Tom will be monitoring those calls and texts, and we'll still do some Triple Play Thursday, right, Tom? Yeah, that's good?
Oh, yeah.
All right, very nice. Adam Phillips, a fine engineer in there. Everything's all right. I always worry when the engineers are in here that all of a sudden I'm going to see, like, electricity arcing between two pieces of machinery. There's going to be a zap, and then one, both, or all of us are going to be gone. It's going to be like Back to the Future, where all of a sudden this DeLorean just gets zapped and we are gone.
Sweet.
Yeah, we've got, oh man, hi Don, how are you? Don Kleppen in the newsroom.
Hi Brian, good, how are you doing?
I am doing dandy, looking forward to a big show. We've got, are you a big fan of comedy, Don?
Love it.
All right, you've probably heard of Gallagher.
Yeah, heard of him.
Yeah, heard of him. See, you're young. People of a certain age, Gallagher was probably the biggest thing in comedy in the 80s and into the 90s. The guy had 14 Showtime specials. Done over 4,000 shows. He
Wintrust Crosstown Classic moves to the South Side.
Wow, where's that? What happened there? Why is Wintrust running?
I think it was a Wintrust watermelon that Gallagher smashed.
Gallagher just smashed the computer that runs the spots. That's all right. Something's going on in there.
So
I told
meta.
You something weird's going on in the other room. So Gallagher is coming on in a few minutes. We're going to talk to him. He's in town doing some things. We'll talk to him about his over 40 year career in comedy and all of that. So we'll talk to Gallagher. Then we're going to keep things going on a little artsy kind of roll. And after 2 o'clock, the two ladies from Heels Over Head. It's a theatrical company that does a lot of physical theater. We'll meet them. We're going to talk about some misunderstood patriotic songs. We're going to talk about some strange 4th of July traditions, fireworks, and all of that. And getting ready for, of course, the 4th of July now. Tonight, the fireworks have started. The big ones at Navy Pier in preparation for tomorrow's huge Chicago display. Those went off without a hitch. If you judge 4th of July based on just my neighborhood, things are really cracking. 4th of July is going to be just celebrated to the nth degree in my new neighborhood. There were a lot of explosions tonight. Got up from my nap, things were a little quiet. Then I thought, oh, this is pretty good. The dogs won't panic. I heard Carm talking about his dogs being brother's dog being a little panicked. Our dogs, one of them could not care less, and the other one does not like them. But it wasn't until about 10 o'clock when things really kicked off in the neighborhood. That's when the big explosion started going. It's when people were like, "Hey, I've had a couple beers after work. I'm going to really kick off the holiday now." So I don't know. I am still Tom. This always now I haven't. It's been a little while since I've been in for Nick, and it always throws me the first night trying to get back on this schedule. Yeah, so now you've been doing it for, 6 months, year?
6 months? What are you
Has
talking about?
Has it been 6 months?
It's been 3 months.
Has it been 3 months? Seems like 8 years. You've been doing this a long time. How long did it take you to get used to it?
Honestly, I didn't really start getting used to it until about 2 weeks ago.
All right, so I'm done for the next two nights, but that's all right. I did today, though. I Elvised my room.
You Elvised it?
Yes, because we moved, and that's an ongoing saga that has been proving nothing but nightmarish. But we moved, and my new bedroom, the bedroom window faces east. So, Don, as you can imagine, you know, the sun rises in the east. I don't have to tell you this. You're an award-winning newsman. You know what direction the sun rises in.
It still sometimes is fuzzy, though, at that time in the morning.
Well, east, it comes in the east, which is where the window faces. And I have blinds on that window, but they're not doing the job. So the room at about, well, this time of year, by 6 o'clock, the room is very bright. And knowing that tomorrow or later this morning and tomorrow morning, I'll be going home at about 6 o'clock to go to bed, I thought, well, this isn't going to work.
Right.
There's no way I can sleep in bright daylight. So at the old house, one thin blanket over the window. I go very low budget. Some people would say, why don't you get yourself some room darkening shades or curtains? Well, because I'm not on this shift all the time. If I was on this shift all the time, I would definitely invest in that sort of technology.
Right. I've got blackout blinds.
Do you?
It's the best.
You have to. Well, I made my own because I'm, you know, I'm low budget. So I took, like I said, at the old house, one little blanket would kind of work. But I knew with the sun barreling in this east-facing window, that wasn't going to do. So today, I took finishing nails and two blankets on each window in the bedroom. And I nailed those blankets over the molding on the window.
Nice.
So it is pitch black, but it looks like I'm about to be condemned. It does not. It's not classy. But thankfully, you can't tell from the outside because the blinds are closed, so it just looks like I'm antisocial.
Yeah, and you're not inviting people into that, right?
Well, not now, but you never know. If, you know, my wife got home, I said, hey, come look at the bedroom. She goes, oh, my God, it's like a cave in there. I go, yep, so don't bother me tomorrow.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's going to be, because that's the only, I have become, in my old age, and I think this happens to a lot of people, I've become a much lighter sleeper than I used to be. Like, I see my daughter, and I'm envious that she can sleep through pretty much anything. She's home for a couple days from New York, and it doesn't matter what's going on, she can sleep through it. And I used to be that way. And you know what ruined it for me? Her. Because when you have a new baby in the house, you're always alert. You don't really fall into a deep sleep because you're in the back of your mind, you're like, something's going to happen to the baby. So once she was born, so for the last 22 years, my sleep has gotten more fitful. Where it's now, if, you know, a tiny beam of light and I'll wake up, the tiniest noise. I got earplugs in, the whole nine. It's pitch black. We'll see. Tomorrow, if I look completely ragged and I'm out of my mind, then you'll know it didn't work.
How is that any different from every other day?
Well, usually I'm out of my mind, but I'm rested. So there's the difference. If I'm out of my mind and I look sleepy, or fatigued, if I'm yawning a lot, that'll be
no limits.
That'll be how we do it.
Love
now,
it.
Tom, are you familiar with Gallagher's work?
I am slightly familiar, and I mean no disrespect in this way, but he's just, to me, he's the watermelon guy.
Well, yeah, sure.
He tells jokes, and then he smashes a watermelon.
Yes.
And there's the splash zone up front.
Right. And that's how, listen, I think he would be the first to admit that's his claim to fame. Now, is he more than that? Sure. So we'll talk about that. But see, if you didn't, you guys are, like I said, you're young. So like when I was in college, his specials were huge, huge, because they were, you know, he was building these giant props. It was this major production every time a Gallagher special came out. And 14 specials is pretty good.
Yeah.
You can say that.
Yeah, it's impressive. 14. So it was a big deal to see a Gallagher thing. But then I got to ask him too, because for a while there was like his brother had bought his act. It was touring around as Gallagher 2. Because when I was in the clubs, you'd see Gallagher 2 coming into the clubs. I don't know how that worked out. It may
Yikes.
It may set him off down a bad road.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's going to be what we really, you know.
Perilous.
We'll see. We'll see what he has to say if he calls. Now, I've been told he's going to call us. We do have a backup number. He's expecting us to talk to him. So we will try to get a hold of Gallagher momentarily. And then we'll see. We will see. But a lot to get to today. So we will attempt to get to all of it. And we will start by, is the vault okay now after that Wintrust fiasco? Now we can
yes.
go?
Yeah. Yes, just make sure you got it up.
I got it up. I love live entertainment because you never know what's going to happen. Brian Noonan in for Nick D. Nick taking a couple of mornings off, and I will be sitting in. Keeping you and Tom and everybody else company. We were, Tom is frantic. I love the look on a dedicated producer's face when they are trying to reach a guest and the guest is not answering their phone. It is, listen, we all know showbiz folk are a little off the beam. And that is, That may be the the deal. So I heard Carm talking about this and about his brother's dog being all frightened because of the fireworks. And I know. I talked to Steve Dale the other night, and we had a conversation about different things. And there are, you know, if your dogs are really, really terrified, there are medications, but it's too late for those medications. We went and got, and I'll look up the name for you. It is a diffuser of a dog pheromone, and that was one of the things that Steve recommended. You plug it in, and it supposedly gives off the scent that a mother dog gives off to her pups. And it supposedly calms the dogs. And between moving into a new house and having the fireworks going off, I was like, well, my dogs need to be soothed as much as possible. So we plug this thing in, and I don't know, I can't smell it because humans can't smell dog pheromones. So I don't know if it really is working, but the dogs do seem a little bit calmer. And we just got it at PetSmart. You walk in, PetSmart knows that this time of year they know their market, because they had a huge display up front of all the different things to help calm your pets. I even got some little chewy treats that are supposed to help calm them. They're not anti-anxiety medicine. They're just kind of, I don't know what's in them. They're savory, meaty treats. So we give the dogs a couple and they're fine. But it's hard, and people who don't have dogs get all upset when people with dogs or cats say, oh, my pets are upset about the fireworks. Well, then, you know, it's America. Things are going to blow up. Yeah, I know. And I don't mind the big local, you know, municipality fireworks displays. I understand that. And I even don't mind people blowing stuff up in their yard, as long as they're careful. What I do mind is, well, you know, when it gets to be like 2 in the morning on August 2nd and people are still blowing up fireworks, that's when it's time to say, you know what, okay, we've celebrated America's birthday. I'm good for that. You know, but we don't need it for months and months. Now, somebody texting in, no wonder I was run out of town. I'm nailing up blankets. No. I don't nail them up. The only way you'd be able to see the nails or the blankets nailed up is if you were in my room. You can't see it from the outside. From the outside, it just looks like my blinds are closed. So I look like a respectable homeowner. It's not until you wander into my inner sanctum that you see that there are two blankets covering each window with little finishing nails. Because there was nothing else. I used to hook them over. Our old blinds were outside the windows, so I could hook them over that. This way, there was nowhere to hook them, so I needed to use the little finishing nails, which will pop right out. I'm not going to leave them in there forever. Boy, oh boy. People think I'm robbing banks, hanging blankets in my windows. Tom, don't worry about it. I see you working hard. You don't have to listen. It's a lost cause. That was my big celebrity get. And see how well it got, how far it got me? I knew it wasn't going to happen. He was on morning radio today. And he's kind of, you know, even the guy who contacted me to put him on said, he's a little, you know, a little out there.
Really doing a good job promoting him, you know? It's like, oh, by the way, yeah, have him on your show, but just so you know,
yeah,
he may not appear at all.
Right. So it's, you know, there you go. And did you leave him a nice message?
Well, his phone message says, don't leave a message.
Wow.
Yeah, so yes, asked for a text. So I sent him a text.
You sent him a text.
Little text.
Gallagher. Just to send him an emoji of a hammer?
I should have sent him. I'm going to send him a watermelon.
Yeah, watermelon emoji. That's now it's funny. I'm going to tell this story since he's not coming on. I texted you. I said, "Hey, what do you think about Gallagher?" And you said, "Oh, it might be interesting." And then I said, "I got him," allegedly.
Yeah,
I honestly did. I got emails. It was all set. But you had said, "Well, I only know him from one thing." What was the one thing besides the watermelon? Besides the watermelon. Knew one thing.
Well, I am an avid listener of Mark Maron's WTF podcast.
Very good podcast.
Yeah, I think he does a lot of great interviews. And one time he had Mr. Gallagher on the show.
I don't think you need to add the Mr.
Oh, you know, I want to put due respect in for a comedy legend.
He is a comedy legend.
He really
You got to give him
He's
that.
He's an important part.
Comedy legend.
But in that interview, Mark Maron asked him some pretty pretty tough questions about his style of comedy and how he felt about it. Now, I don't mind a tough interview. I like a tough interview because it's more interesting that way. That's
why do you see me crank down on these two theater ladies?
Oh, man. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
What is pantomime?
It's going to be like Mike Wallace. Am I really in a box? Am I supposed to believe the wind is that strong that I can't walk in front of it? Go ahead. Sorry.
Explain. But, you know, it's he asked him some questions about how he felt about the validity or the actual comedy of his comedy. And Gallagher did not like that. So he literally got up and walked out of the interview, told him he didn't need to take this because he's a popular and famous comedian and a legend. And, you know, it just spoke to what his bugaboos are. And maybe he's a little bit uncomfortable with the way his career went.
Well, and there's been a lot of controversy surrounding him about jokes that are no longer deemed politically correct, jokes that he keeps in his act that he got from, you know, cab drivers and different people, just old kind of jokes. He always did, though, even back in the days of the special, he would do the first part would be, you know, straight kind of stand up, and then it would move into more of the big proppy things, and then the Sledge-O-Matic came later. And the story is, he actually tried, imagine this, he came up with the Sledge-O-Matic bit. He tried to sell it to George Carlin and Albert Brooks. Can you imagine George Carlin? They both obviously turned it down.
Right.
And it turned into his big thing. Can you imagine George Carlin or Albert Brooks smashing things with a hammer?
I can definitely imagine George Carlin smashing things with a mammer, but odds are it wouldn't be watermelons.
Yes, yeah. They would be taboo. Social mores would be smashed. That's how we do that.
Well, and Albert Brooks is he's no stranger to a certain level of prop comedy, but it's usually very incredibly clever, like the Speak and Spell bit that he did on Carson.
Are you telling me that a hammer smashing things is not clever?
Well, you know, it's a blunt instrument, as it were.
Very nice. Yes, and it started because he was doing the Popeil commercials were all that. So he's what sells that bit, his manic salesmanship. But then it kind of, and it used to just be, when it started, it was just like an apple. He would just smash an apple. And he always threatened the watermelon. And it wasn't until a New Year's Eve show at the Comedy Store in L.A., that he finally got the watermelon and did it. And then there was one theater in San Francisco that wouldn't let him smash the watermelons, so he took them outside and smashed them with the audience. And it's become the thing.
It is.
It's, and whether you like it or not, it's the trademark. He's very angry, though, from what I've all the interviews I've read with him and heard with him. He's very angry. He believes he should have been much bigger. You know, he should have gotten the late night shows. He should have been the guy.
Well, you know, the bit's going to run out, though. If you're doing the Tonight Show every night, and at the end of every monologue,
you
smash a watermelon. All right, now we're going to talk to Tobey Maguire, you know.
Did you know he was a trained chemist?
Really?
Yep.
He kind of looks like a chemist. He's got a very classical chemist, right, so big mustache.
Yes,
you know.
he was trained at University of Central Florida or South Florida, one of those universities. He's a trained chemist. And he started out in showbiz as a Jim Stafford's road manager. No, Jim Stafford, the singer.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was Jim Stafford's road manager. And obviously, I researched. I was ready to go for the interview. I had a lot of good information to talk to Gallagher about. But since he's not here, we'll do this. And then, what am I going to talk about? Well, we'll just go to the big pad. Tom, there's a lot of things.
Wow, come on, Dad.
I'm sorry. I'm thrown.
Tom, 3 months.
It's been 3 months. It seems like 8 years. All right. Listen, Tom. This is our first time working this shift together, though.
That's true.
I'm very excited. We'll go to the legal pad of fun and see what we've got. We do have a number of things. All right. Let's do that. And that first we'll do this. Then we'll have news. Then we'll do that. You know what's happening. It's WGN. Super Supertramp. Have we gotten any requests for Triple Play Thursday? Is that Supertramp one of the groups?
We're getting them in now. We're starting to get. We'll build a nice list of people.
All right. And how does that? You just do we announce them? Do you just play them and we have to guess? Is there some sort of punch card? What happens?
I will play the song and I will say what the song is, who it's by, and who requested it. All so
right. It was Supertramp.
Yeah.
Breakfast
but
in
that,
America.
But that one's just me.
All right, that's you just like that one?
Yeah, I just like that
song. Are we going to have two more Supertramp songs?
Maybe.
All right, listen, you can't get enough Supertramp. I just saw one of the most American things happen on the television. Joey Chestnut was getting weighed in for the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Why do you have to weigh somebody in for a hot dog eating contest? They don't weigh them after. They just go by how many hot dogs they ate, which is, listen, I'm a guy who likes to eat. I used to like to eat a lot more than I like to eat now, but I admire eating. As we all have to eat to live, but don't live to eat. That's what my grandfather used to say. But these competitive eating things, when I was younger, I used to think, man, that's kind of fun. Now I just think it's gross and a waste, and that's why the terrorists hate us. That's one of the reasons. I'm going to go top five. May not be the number one, but it's top five.
I don't
that we have enough. We have enough food in this country for people to waste it in eating competitions while other people are going hungry.
That's
and I don't want to, listen, I don't want to throw a wet blanket on the 4th of July. Tomorrow I might have 8 bratwursts. But, you know, no, I'm not going to have 8 bratwursts.
That's, I was going to say, even a competitive
or later
eater
today.
Would think.
No, that's
a lot of, that's a lot of bratwursts.
And bratwurst is an unusual choice, I think, for 4th of July, even though it is the choice that I made at the Noonan House, since it is a German sausage. But since we are a melting pot country and everyone is welcome here, we went with bratwurst at the house. But, all right, here's the thing. Again, Joey Chestnut is going to eat a million hot dogs tomorrow, and it's so gross because he doesn't even eat them like we eat hot dogs. He just dunks them in water and throws them in. That's it. All right, so that was going. Now here's the other sad news. We will not be talking sad and depressing things throughout the morning because, one, it's a holiday. Two, it's overnight. But I went to get gas today. And if you've gotten gas in the last couple days, you realized, oh, man, that new tax they were talking about, yeah, that has really gone into effect. We are now paying 19 cents more a gallon for gas than we were on Sunday. And it is not only getting us at the gas pump, but it's going to start, you're going to start feeling it in other places. I went today to get gas, and I try not to go. I usually go to Costco or Sam's to get my gas because it's cheaper. You know, yes, you have to have the membership for the year, but we go shopping there anyway. So that's why we have the membership. Ooh, which I have to remember that when I went to get my gas, the membership card said it was expiring, so I needed to renew it. But anyway, I go to Costco and it was packed with people getting gas. Now, that makes sense. For the day before a big holiday, a lot of people are leaving town. They're going on the road. Everybody's having fun getting out of town for the holiday. So that makes sense. But what got me is the fact that across the street, now at Costco I paid $2.93. And across the street it was $3.27, I think. So then I'm watching the news today and they're saying, oh, gas prices are down from last year. Oh, no. No. Yeah, they may be down everywhere else, but not here in Illinois. I do think we might be paying a little less than we were last year at this time, but the jump over the last week has just been enormous. So what do you do? I'm guessing if you live near Indiana or Wisconsin or Iowa, you're going across the border to buy your gas, right? You're not buying it. And if you live in the city, maybe it's a little cheaper to just go across, you know, drive a couple blocks, a couple miles somewhere else to get your gas if it's a little cheaper in the suburbs. So what are you doing? Because we have to have gas. We got to drive. But I don't know. It's one of those things where, remember a couple years ago where it started creeping up toward $5 a gallon? We were all worried it was going to hit $5 a gallon. And people were really trying to curtail their driving. And I was too. I mean, you know, I was combining trips. I was consciously routing out my day. If I had to go to a number of errands, if I had to run all over town, I was like, all right, I'm going to go here, 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 and here because it's the shortest route to take my day. It should use the least amount of gas for that day. I don't know now. Now we know it's never going down. Back then it was like, well, maybe it's just temporary. Now we know the tax is the tax. It's not going down. So the state doubled the gas tax Monday. We've seen it at the gas pump, as I said. We are now paying we are paying 38 cents a gallon just in tax for our gasoline. All right. You know you're paying for it at the pump. Where else is it going to hit you? Oh, this is very exciting. I didn't even think about it. If you pay to have your garbage taken away, like, you know, if you're in a suburb and you're paying whoever your company is, well, guess what? They have to pay for their trucks. They talked to, this was an article out of the Trib. They talked to Lakeshore Recycling. They have 225 residential and commercial garbage trucks. The cost to run their trucks, which is on diesel fuel, which got an even higher 21.5 cent raise in taxes. So whereas regular gas got 19, they got 21.5 cent, bringing the total state tax on diesel fuel to 44.5 cents a gallon. Oh my goodness. So now this one recycling company says their cost is going to rise by $1 million a year just in the gas. So they can't absorb it, so they're going to pass it along to the customers. And they talked to a couple different firms, some bigger, some smaller. Everybody, one firm, Maywood-based Roy Strom Refuse Service, $600 a day in new fuel costs. So guess who gets to pay for that? You. Fun. You look like you're going to, 312-981-7200. If you have a thought on this, what you're doing about the gas prices. Craig's been hanging on. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Brian. How are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
Okay. Sunday night about 11:30, I'm an Uber driver, and I was out in northwest suburbs around Carpentersville.
Okay.
And there's a Woodman's store out there.
Yeah.
And they have two sets of gas pumps. The one set is over by the service center, and the other set is completely unmanned. The set by the service center, the tanks were empty. They had drained them.
Really?
And over at the other side, there are 10 pumps, and there were at least 40 cars waiting to get into the 10 pumps because their gas was $2.69.
Yeah. I used to always go to the Woodman's in Kenosha when I worked in Wisconsin on the weekends. Oh, man, I loved Woodman's gas. And their beer prices are good, too.
Oh, yeah. Craig. I had a guy sitting across from me in a pickup truck, and he's filling this thing up. And while it's filling up, he goes and opens up the bed, and he pulls out six of these 10-gallon gas cans, and he fills those up, too.
Oh, my God. See, that's, yeah, unless you've got a lot of, you know, if you're a landscaper and you have a lot of machines that you have to fill up the next day. But other than that,
crazy. Yeah, I agree.
Now, Craig, let me ask you this, because you're driving for Uber. Now, your gas has gone up 19 cents in just a couple days. Has there been any talk, because this is an Illinois-centric thing, has there been any talk about raising rates? Are you guys getting more, or is this just another thing where the drivers are going to have to take the hit because, hey, that's what gas costs?
So far, I've heard nothing, and the drivers are going to have to take the hit. But it's just one more hit from the company. I mean, over the course of the last year, there have been several reductions in our pay scale.
Yeah.
So this is just one more that hopefully they will compensate us in some way, but thus far they have not.
I was going to say, don't hold your breath.
Exactly.
All right, Craig, well, be careful out there. Thanks for the call.
All right, enjoy the rest of the morning, man. Thanks.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's see. I drove 12 miles to Genoa City, Wisconsin for gas at $2.69 a gallon. Did you know it is 21 to buy tobacco, but 18 to possess in Illinois? That's in Illinois. That must be one of the new rules. I did not know that. So, because I don't buy tobacco, so I don't pay much attention. Your florist is going to be going to cost more as we talk more about what this gas tax is really going to do as it dries out. They talked to one florist who's saying delivery fees are going to have to go up by a dollar or so just because the gas prices go up. Dry cleaners, if you get your dry cleaning picked up or delivered, it's going to have to go up. They're saying it might go up to 3 to 5% because of business costs. And since we were talking to Craig, the Uber driver, it says rideshare companies Uber and Lyft have not raised the fares, but food ordering and delivery companies plan some adjustments. So Grubhub isn't going to raise delivery fees, but its delivery drivers will likely see their pay increase, according to a spokesperson. And Grubhub uses algorithms that factor in local gas prices, taxes, and other components to calculate how much drivers are paid. Some of the restaurants on their platform employ their own delivery drivers who would not be subject to the changing pay rate. So gas prices are everywhere. And they just keep getting higher and higher. And there's nothing we can do about it, folks. We just got to pay it. Got to pay it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And then there is more at 720 WGN. When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. Hey, Supertramp number two. Oh, it was beautiful. They had one big album, Breakfast in America. I know they probably had a lot more than that, but that seemed to be their, that was the pinnacle for Supertramp.
Yeah, that's,
was it not?
I would say so. I would say so. And whatever, I love Supertramp.
Whatever happened to Supertramp?
They're still touring.
Are they doing the fairs, festivals?
I know they still do
parking
shows.
Parking lots? They opening for Gallagher at a pizza joint? What's happening?
Yeah, they try to get out before they start, before the watermelon starts. Try to get done.
Yeah, that gums up all your equipment.
Yeah.
If you have your PA system out and it gets sledge-o-matic'd, that's... That is never good. Man, there's a seed in my pickup on his guitar. That was my bad Supertramp guitarist.
Yeah.
Refrain. I know Supertramp for that album. That was it. And it came out when I was in high school and everybody played it nonstop. Had the waitress on the cover. Oh, it was gorgeous artwork, which you don't see much anymore. Maybe I'm not buying albums anymore.
Well, it's changed. I think now that vinyl's big again, like I buy vinyl.
Yes.
Specific ones. If it's something that I'm just going to listen to, like maybe a little bit.
So
I don't
did
love
you
it.
Have a? Did you have to go get a new turntable, or did you have one an old Philco in your parents' basement?
Well, I used my dad's old turntable for a while, but it was in a certain state of disrepair. So I eventually got a new one, and they're making new ones.
I was going to say, where does one go to get a new turntable?
Oh,
service merchandise.
Well, there's a lot of places you can.
Really,
a lot of people like to go. Retro and they get refurbished because there's guys out there, they're, you know, electrical engineers and they worked with turntables all their lives. So they're just like, yeah, we can fix this. The parts are not totally unfindable, you know, but I got a new one and I listened to a decent little collection of stuff that I really enjoy.
Okay.
Just the stuff I really enjoy.
Now,
that
is it
the extra dollar?
Is it to be precious, or can you really tell the difference in sound? Do you, because a lot of the vinyl, it's got a much warmer sound, and I love the cracks and pops and crickles in the vinyl sound. It's fantastic.
For me, it has very little to do with the sound because honestly, no. You if you are listening on a CD,
yeah,
is basically negligible, like difference in quality. If you're streaming, generally speaking, negligible difference in quality.
It's about the taste, isn't it?
The taste of vinyl?
Yeah, it tastes really good.
Oh, man, yeah, because you could, you know, you knock off a piece of that, or when they break, you're like, hey, it's a cookie. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Delish.
I just like the big artwork.
I like the big artwork.
And you can hold, you open it. There's notes.
Yeah, you get the liner notes in there. Sometimes you get the lyrics. When you pull it out and it's in the paper jacket, sometimes they had the lyrics on there. You've got, sometimes with the double albums and you opened them up, there was nice concert shots in there. There's all kinds of things going on.
And it's fun.
It is fun.
And it's a really cool trick at parties, even though it's not really a trick. Because people, even though you've got
What do you do? Ha ha!
You got a lot of millennials. Obviously, they know what vinyl is. Vinyl is cool, but many of them don't actually know how to like put on a record. So you pull, I look, oh man, I'm suave.
You,
I got my ascot on. You know, I pull out the record.
Hello, lady. And do you hold it up with the two fingers to give it a little blow, and then spin it?
You never blow on it. You never blow on it.
Oh, wow.
You take the brush. I've got my brush.
Do you have your little
record brush?
Oh God, I used to
keep it clean.
The guys who would, there were some guys that I went to school with who were so into. I forget what the brand was, but you'd put a few drops of the cleaning fluid on there and start the turntable, and then you had to make sure the brush went just enough. Then you'd curl it up to get all the lint off there. Oh
yeah.
Man, you had to have your album
keeps
nice and clean. And then I had an old sound design system where I had to put pennies on the tone arm to keep it from bouncing. bounce. I was not what you'd call an audiophile. You know, my Molly Hatchet albums were in a plastic milk crate in the corner of the room.
Molly Hatchet, come on.
Molly Hatchet had the best cover art. I will fight you. Don't at me.
I will
fight you on that. Molly Hatchet's cover art was phenomenal.
That was the one with like the Viking.
Yeah, there was always somebody, there was an axe and there was blood and somebody was getting their head chopped off. It was always phenomenal.
Everyone's flirting with disaster.
Of course they were.
You know?
Flirting with disaster, Gator Country, Whiskey Man. Come on. Don't listen. Do not denigrate Danny Joe Brown and the rest of Molly Hatchet. I will come in there. You best. Listen, I know they didn't wear a lot of knit hats and flannel shirts and their big beards.
I want you to know three things. I'm not wearing a knit hat.
No, you're
like
not.
I usually do.
You shaved your beard.
I'm shaved, and I am not wearing a flannel shirt.
Well, it's summer.
I've.
Do you have it tied around your waist?
No.
All right, good.
just checking.
Oh, disc washer. That's what it was called, disc washer. So you have your disc washer?
Of course I do. You gotta have clean vinyl.
Of course you do.
Gotta have the clean vinyl.
Now, do you keep them? Do you have to have the paper jacket slide in a certain way? Do you make sure that it's? Do you take the jacket out and then slide it up so the top is?
You know,
so the album can't roll out.
That's the locked in position.
The locked in position. I didn't know there was a name.
Yeah, or I don't know if that's a term. I was told. I was told it's
one of your
in.
Vinyl meetings.
Yeah,
you know
the
what's funny?
Meetings.
Back in the day, we never called them vinyl. We just called them records or albums.
Yeah, I like records and albums.
Okay,
vinyl though. Now you have to say an album. Well, what format do you have it
on?
Yeah, because
there's choices now as opposed to back.
Yeah, tape. Tape is back in a big way.
Cassette tapes? No
yeah.
way.
Yeah, there's.
I don't have nearly enough pencils for cassette tapes to make a comeback.
That's how you know a band is hip, is if they've got it on cassette.
Really. All right. Well, see, and now I feel bad that I tossed all my stuff. I tossed all my cassettes, all my, I still have a milk crate of vinyl.
There you go.
Do you want some old Bill Cosby records?
You know, I think
they
probably haven't aged well, both in content and in, quality.
Well,
Bill Cosby was... The jokes were still funny.
Don't
look through the lens of time at the jokes.
Yes, but there. And if you want, Dan, I'll bring Tom. Why did I call you Dan again? This is bad. I feel awful. Tom, if you want, I will bring you in a Molly Hatchet album tomorrow. Let's see. Oh, triple play requests are coming in. I had a cassette briefcase. Who didn't have a cassette briefcase in their car? You started out with a small one. It was like 12. And then you'd go into the big one. I think the biggest I had was 48. Do you even remember cassette tapes, Don?
Oh, yeah. My dad had a briefcase of those.
Of cassettes?
Yeah.
Tom, do you have a briefcase of cassettes?
No.
You have to. That's the cool thing.
That's to get a cassette briefcase?
Oh, you got to have for in the car. Because then you would, you'd have it right on the seat next to you, and you could open it up, and there were all your cassettes.
The car I had a 98 Saturn that had a cassette deck, and I did get a couple of cassettes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I picked up some.
Your new car, the car you just got?
No, it was not.
I know
new.
It's not a new car, but it's new to you.
It was.
Okay.
I had to sell it because it didn't meet the what's it called, the emissions test.
Really?
And it was only 1 year outside of the, safe zone. You know, if a car's old enough, it doesn't have to pass the emissions test.
Sure, because then it could just burp pollutants into the air and nobody cares.
Yeah, there's nothing
Drive
you
around.
Can do about it.
Yeah,
it's
really.
Never going to meet that standard. But I had some by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I think I had Tupac.
Wow.
Yeah, I was looking real fly.
Look at you.
Driving around with Tupac in the tape deck.
Holy cow, you are militant. I like that. I don't know why. I don't know why listening to Tupac makes you militant, but it seems, when you go from Chili Peppers to Tupac.
Well, sorry it wasn't Burt Bacharach, man. I don't know what to tell you.
I didn't have Burt Bacharach. I'm trying to remember my cassettes. A lot of them were homemade. Somebody said, oh, I love making a mixtape. Yeah.
My dad had the Batman soundtrack as one of the cassettes.
On cassettes?
Yeah.
Your dad know how to roll. Now, the one with Seal's Kiss from a Rose?
No, it was
because that was
Prince
the makeouts.
One.
The Prince one.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
87.
89, sir.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
30
Ooh,
years
don't
this
get Tom,
year.
Don't get Tom going on movie dates.
89. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I always mix it with 87.
So that was a whole soundtrack?
Yeah. Prince did the whole thing.
Which Batman?
1989.
I don't know the year. Tell me who was Batman.
Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah. Michael Keaton, Batman. Okay. Yeah.
And Jack Nicholson is
yes,
the Joker.
All right, yeah, that one.
Billy
right.
D. Williams as Two-Face, Harvey Dent.
Michelle Pfeiffer was in there, wasn't she?
Sure, that was Batman Returns. Returns. Yeah,
oh, yeah, she was Catwoman.
I think that's is that the one with Seal's Kiss from a Rose, or is that
no,
Batman
you're thinking
Forever?
Of Batman, yeah, Batman Forever, starring Jim Carrey, Val Kilmer, Tommy Lee Jones.
Nicole Kidman.
Wow. Yeah. Very nice. Look at that. Tom, throwing down vinyl knowledge and celluloid knowledge.
When you're on the overnight shift, you don't see other people a lot.
Right.
So you find other ways to amuse yourself, mainly trivia.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, speaking of trivia, tomorrow night, the return of the Overnight Arcade. Very exciting. Tomorrow, it will be American History in honor of the 4th of July. So American History on the Overnight Arcade. 2 a.m. tomorrow. Set your clocks. Tell your neighbors. It's going to be, oh, man, it's going to be fun. We have some prizes to give away. Tom will be giving away tutorials in vinyl cleaning and cassettes. How to rewind a cassette. The biggest thing, now, see, you're too young to appreciate this, but this was a high point in music when they invented the auto reverse for the cassettes. Because up to a certain point, and I know that I'm going to sound ancient to you, Tom, but up to a certain point, when your cassette reached the end of a side, you had to actually take it out, turn it over, reinsert it into the machine, and hit play again. And then auto reverse came. And oh, it was like the heavens opened. It's like the music gods smiled down on us, you know, and suddenly you could listen to Slippery When Wet uninterrupted because it would go and John Bon Jovi's dulcet tones would be singing and all of a sudden the song would end. You go, oh, I have to. No, I don't have to flip it because you're like all the crunching of the gears and bang, you just start going back the other way and side two.
Genius stuff.
Listen. Certain things make it make you happy. Hey, guys, I know I'm old. I miss the Radio Shack and the merchandise. Where to go with cassette carry case? Yes, the cassette carry case was the one. I worked for a company from the 412 that manufactured cassette cases. That's why I'm out of work. Hang tight, my friend. It looks like, according to Tom, they're making a comeback. And if enough bands get hip enough, then more people will be buying cassettes. Hence the need for more cassette cases. That could be a decade and a half. But if you can hold on, that would be good. On the other side of the news, we're going to meet the ladies from Heels Overhead Chicago, a wonderful theater group. We'll do that after the news, which comes your way after this on WGN. Did you put, were all these from the same album?
Yeah, I believe so.
These were your picks, your Triple Play Thursday.
Yeah,
you went Super Tramp.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to give the titles of the songs or no? Do you even remember?
Yeah, well, it was Goodbye Stranger, the logical song, and then Breakfast in America.
Perfect.
Bing.
Right. Bing. There you go. That's Tom Hush, the executive producer of the Big Nick DiGilio Show. Nick's not here. I'm here, but Tom is here. So that is very good. And Madison Dempsey and Brittany Anderson are also here. They are with Heels Overhead Theater Group in Chicago. Ladies, thank you for coming in. Good morning. Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Get right up on those microphones there.
Yeah, here we are.
No, that's all right. So Heels Overhead is an unusual or a unique theater group. What is it?
Yeah, Heels Overhead is a monthly variety show, essentially, but it features only physical performers. So people that use their bodies to tell stories. Okay. It involves dance or circus, burlesque, physical theater, clown. I'm probably missing some puppetry.
We do some music business. So if you're using your person to produce musical sounds, we do a lot of that too.
Like armpit farts?
We do some singing.
Oh, singing. All
I
right.
Remember one of my first ones that I was on the team for, we had some musical comedy.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Really, anything. If you got it, we want it.
You can use it.
Yeah.
So how did this group form? How did it come about?
Yeah. All right. I'll take this one.
All right.
So I started the show in 2015. So okay. October 2015. We're coming up on 4 years. I moved to the Chicago in 2012 from South Carolina originally, and
nice.
And so I started taking classes, like a lot of people do when they arrive in the city, sure. like Second City.
You have to. Yes, if you're here and you're anywhere near a theatrical background, you must take some classes.
And like maybe even if you're not, you know, it's just right. like, I mean, I can't come to Chicago and not take classes, like especially with improv or something or comedy.
Exactly.
Totally. So I did that, and then I got into clown. And what I noticed was a trend of like, there would be like a showcase at the end of
I want to interrupt. How does one get into clown? Because that's a phrase I never would comprehend. I would the phrase I would use is I flee from clowns, but get into clown would not be. How does that happen?
Yeah, totally.
And what does that mean exactly?
Great. So clown, some people think like red nose, face paint, the circus sort of variety.
Sure.
It's a different kind of thing here in Chicago. It's pretty popular. European clown, I guess people would call it, or red nose clown.
Okay.
Where it's essentially like using your, using improv in a way to create comedic scenes with the audience and yourself, okay. and maybe some props, maybe not. But it's a very just like a particular style of theater that's like very audience interactive, very funny, may or may not contain limited language.
I was just going to ask is this mime or is it?
It involves mime a lot of times. Okay. Yeah, for sure. That's like a common experience with clown. So
okay.
you go into a clown class.
Well, sure.
Yeah, and a lot of improvisers will get asked to take clown classes because it really helps your, again, relationship with the audience and how to feel comfortable on stage just being yourself and not trying to put any sort of character on top of it. Clown is also kind of like that. It's some people say it's like the best version of you or the truest version of you in
really?
Some way. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was, I studied for a bit in a conservatory in Dublin. And so to
you studied clown
bit,
in Dublin?
I did.
Well,
and
sure,
I didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, I was going to say the clowning in the U.S. just not up to snuff. You needed to go across
there. I needed
to
flee the U.S. for clown rather
sure,
than fleeing the clowns. I came into this conservatory and as part of their program in your third year, you take a, contemporary theater class.
Okay.
And they bring someone different in every year to teach it. And it just so happened that the year I was studying there, it was a clown instructor. And so we did an intensive for about 3 months where we
clown
ended up putting
intensive.
Together a clown intensive.
All right.
The show ended up being called Conservatory of Clown. But it was, like Brittany is saying, a whole exercise in learning how to listen to your audience instead of listening for your audience. And okay. it is absolutely invaluable in comedic timing and knowing when is your audience ready to laugh? When right. are they ready to listen to you? Using those skills can be considered clowning skills, right? And it's okay. very different than a lot of people perceive it to be and so much more helpful to a variety of performers.
But, well, yeah, I think the you know, common perception of clown is like you said, Brittany, where it's a circus clown, or then it's it. Those are the
right,
those are your
right,
two things.
Totally.
They're really creepy and trying to kill you, or they're spraying you with seltzer and dropping their pants. Both equally creepy.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
So that's the thing. Yeah. All right, so. Now, so we'll go back to the origin story.
Sure, sure.
But which sounds like now a superhero clown is going to come out of this.
Oh, I love this. Story. I love this.
Yeah,
for
this
sure.
Could
I want a superhero clown in Heels Overhead now.
Oh my gosh, new character.
That's it. Write it down. We'll go off on a whole new tangent.
We'll bring you on.
Thank
Brian.
You. I'd love to be a creative consultant. I'm clowning around here.
You so, were in the city. You were studying.
You were in the
clown.
City. You're studying. You get into clown.
Got into clown.
And then.
At the end of these classes, there would be like an 8-week, or at the end of these 8-week or 6-week classes, there'd be like a little showcase. You'd show a little, you know, 1 to 5 minute piece, depending on the class, of what you were working on with the partner. And then after that, you don't see that scene again, and the development just would stop.
Oh, okay.
Because there are a lot of opportunities around the city, especially for improv jams, for open mic nights. And I just wasn't seeing anything around that a physical performer could really get into. And then also on the other side of that, after a lot of conversations with people, there are there are people that have like vaudeville type acts or burlesque acts especially that need a place to test something, test material in front of an audience before they try to sell it. And so I was like, okay, where can there be a space for this? So I spoke to the creative director at the time at IO Improv, Alex Honnett, who's really awesome to us, and gave us a Tuesday night slot once a month at IO. We were there for 2 years. Then we moved later on to Actors Gymnasium in Evanston, and we were able to take on less comedy and more circus acts. And now we're kind of finding what's next for us. We want to evolve as the community's evolving.
And is this community, it sounds like it must be growing for the show, but it just seems so, I think to most people it would be so foreign. Where are people studying to be circus acts? Or why, you know, if they're not going to the circus, why would you, you know, why would you do that? What kind of actors are pursuing these kind of acts? What draws someone to that type of performance rather than straight up improv or dramatic acting or something like that? You go, you know what, I need to do more physical.
The most common answer I've found, I came into it later, I found the Actors Gymnasium, which was one of our venues before I found Heels Over Head specifically. And for me, and for a lot of other actors, coming to disciplines like that, whether it be things we've mentioned, like burlesque or circus, it's diversifying a portfolio. It's diversifying the skills that you're bringing into an audition room. It's finding different ways to employ skills that you briefly touched on while you were in college, or being able to walk into a space and say, hey, so I can also tumble, or okay, I also have the timing of clown, right? Yeah. And those are really interesting sticking points for anyone who's going to hire you as a performer.
So what is your, Madison, what is your, you said you did your clown intensive in Dublin.
Oh, yeah,
so
I did.
We know you are also, as Brittany, into clown.
Oh, I like the clown.
so what other skills do you bring to the performances?
I, for Heels Over Head specifically, I came onto the team more as a stage manager than anything else. I've only
ever
performed.
Die without her. We would absolutely die without Madison.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, thank goodness you're here. It would be a horrible tragedy if all the clowns and contortionists and you know, armpit farters, all they were, if they all died, that would be horrifying.
A whole different kind of show.
That would be a different kind of show. Limited run.
Absolutely. I came on, there was a brief period of time where Brittany was actually out of the country.
Yeah.
And
studying clowning in Botswana?
Actually, Berlin.
Berlin?
Yeah, for a year.
I hear Berlin and I think that's the antithesis of clowning.
Oh, no way. No, Berlin is like,
I think burlesque Berlin, you know.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But clowning seems.
Well, right now, Berlin is like a really hot scene for like weird art. I mean, and I just
recently, I'm glad you used that adjective because I would have.
Oh, yeah.
I think if I had done it, Tom would have come in here and hit me in the back of the head. Don't call things weird art.
No, totally weird art. It's like super, yeah, people can do anything. There's performances just happening in the strangest of venues. But yeah, I was there for a year to study for my master's of fine arts through Columbia College in European devised performance practice, which means physical device theater, basically. But back over.
So Brittany, Brittany's out of the country, and you come in and you save everyone's life.
Well, to put it lightly, yes.
Heels Over Head was going down without Brittany in the country.
Basically, it was too much work for the team that was left behind to take on by themselves. So I was working in a different capacity with one of our other producers, Scott Dare. And I said, Scott, you're drowning. You're drowning.
And he agreed.
Can I help you? Let me help you. And so I started handling a lot of the communication, putting together run sheets, cue sheets, making sure everything on the day of ran smoothly. People describe stage managers as cat herders.
Yes.
Because they do a lot of the, hey, guys, hey, yep, we're focused. We've got 20 minutes. So I did a lot of that. And when Brittany came back, it was just decided, hey, you're really good at that. Keep doing that. Keep doing that for us. So I've been here ever since.
And we've since grown our team. When we first started, it was me and a stage manager, more like a person that ran sound and lights. And then Left it, turned it over to Scott. So our team now is six people, which is nice. Awesome. So it's myself, Madison, Scott Dare, Kai McGee, Richie Schiraldi, and Audrey Palumbo. They're awesome. And now that we're up to six, I'm like, how did we ever survive with two?
Yeah, it makes it a little, makes it a little easier. Yeah. Brittany Anderson and Madison Dempsey are here. They are with Heels Overhead. You can follow them on Facebook at Heels Overhead CHI. We'll talk about what people can expect when they come to the show, where the next show is, because it's once a month, the last Friday of the month, various Chicago locations. So we'll talk more with the ladies and learn more about, the dark world of clowning. All of that after this, 720 WGN. Oh, here we go. Another triple play?
Yep.
I know who this is.
Please tell us.
Springsteen.
The Boss.
And?
And this song is Pink Cadillac. I've never actually heard this.
Really?
Yeah, first time I've heard it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but, it's one of the, one of the hits.
One of the hits.
One of the hits. One of the many.
Coming to us from Ike.
Ike, so we have two more Springsteen songs from Ike. Is that how this works?
Exactly how it works.
I love how this works. You know what else I'm loving? Learning about things that I don't know about. I don't know about clowns. I've been to the circus. I used to love to go to the circus. Madison Dempsey is here. Brittany Anderson is here. They are with Heels Overhead. Heels Overhead Chicago is the Facebook page, Heels Overhead CHI. Every month they bring together performers from all different types of physical storytelling techniques. So we've got clowns coming in. So if I go, first of all, when's the next show?
The next show is going to be the 26th of June.
Okay. July.
July. Shoot.
I was going to say that passed. We missed it.
No, sorry. It's July. Yeah.
So it's the last Friday of every month.
Yes.
So the 26th of July.
You got it.
And where is it going to be?
It is going to be, we believe, at Piven Theater in Evanston, Illinois.
Okay.
Right now we're kind of shopping around for a space. So it's going to be at a different location probably for the next couple of months. Keep up to date with us on Facebook and you'll know where we're going to be, because we're finding out what works best for us right now.
So when someone comes to one of the shows, what can they expect? We're going to see all sorts of things, but what sorts of things?
You're going to see Brittany talking a lot. not a lot. That's one thing you can always count on.
Is that Brittany's going to talk?
Is that Brittany's going to tell us who we're going to see.
Okay. Well, that's always good. You need an MC. You need somebody, a ringmaster.
Absolutely. Every month is a little different as far as submissions, but we'll generally see a lot of solo acts, some really impressive brand new material, things that may or may not be well polished, but definitely have a beginning, middle, and end. You're gonna see an audience of a lot of other physical theater performers who are ready and willing to talk back to you and give you a little feedback about what you're building and where you're going and things you've never seen before sure.
People who are taking risks and trying some things on the stage that they maybe for the first time for them. I know we've had some really, in our history, we've had some really awesome things happen, like people premiere pieces that have gone on to be pretty successful. For the first time in Heels Overhead, there's a friend of ours, Kathleen Hoyle, that actually did their first burlesque act with us.
Oh, wow.
Period. And okay. Now does it on the regular and is gaining some traction with that. So you'll see some like burlesque storytelling. You'll see dance theater. You might see some contortion or handstands or juggling storytelling going on. And not just like your tricks and then
that's right. Because when you say juggling and storytelling, because sometimes you'll see people, you can juggle, but there's got to be that extra level of, yes, you can juggle, but can you engage the audience? Am I right?
Exactly. Totally. That's totally what we're looking for.
And that's the beginning, middle, and end of it. That's where the real skill comes in, I think, watching it, is putting together that beginning, middle, and end. And what I will say is, for people coming to it for the first time, everyone in the audience might know what these skills are, but no one has seen most of these things before. Yeah. So we're all in it for the first time together, which is really nice.
Oh, that's very cool. So what... All right, let's take the juggler for example. So you have a juggler come out. What type of story? An example of somebody from before. So what stories are they telling as they're juggling whatever it is that they're juggling?
Sometimes it's as simple as nothing verbal, just the building of suspense as they add more and more to their hands.
Yeah.
Going from 3 balls to 4 balls to 5 balls to 6. It's like that beginning, middle, and end is super satisfying as an audience member. And sometimes it's a little more complicated.
Yeah. Sometimes there is text involved. We've had David Trevoni is a really great juggler and performer. He's touring the country right now with us. And he did like a piece. It was about a blackbird, and so it was actually a really serious, like, kind of, like, a dark comedy, kind of, maybe serious, like, a juggling piece where he was saying this text, but it's like every snippet of the text would be mirrored in his juggling somehow.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of a specific example.
There was one, it was actually really funny. He talked about a bird in a nest, and he stopped, and he juggled for a bit, and then he pulled an audience member on stage and put one of his juggling balls in her hair and just waited for a laugh.
Yep, exactly. Things like that. And sometimes it's even just about the shift of focus someone's juggling and then they look to the side and something else catches them and maybe they decide to juggle something else. But just a way of knowing that they have a very active relationship with the audience is sometimes all that you need to create a really good story with that sort of an apparatus.
So if somebody's listening and they think, I have these skills, this sounds like something I would. Do you have auditions? How does it work? How does someone become part of your part of the show?
We do everything by submission. So on that Facebook page you mentioned so very eloquently, I really appreciate that.
Heels Overhead CHI.
That's the one. We have a link to our submission page.
Okay.
Every month we take in as many as we can. Brittany is a great curator. She'll go through all of those and say, you know, we already have 6 submissions for dance pieces. We're going to take a couple of those. We've got a couple over here of brand new juggling acts. We'll take those. We've got an improv group that wants to try out a set, let's put that in there. So we have a great diversified run sheet for the night. And so then every month
is different.
Absolutely.
Other than you, Brittany, are there any regular like cast members or company members, or every month it's you and whoever submitted that you've chosen to be with you that month?
That's basically it. Yeah.
There are a couple of people that we consider like friends of Heels Overhead who will come to us pretty regularly and try out some new stuff. So that you might see familiar faces, but it's always a new run sheet of acts.
And for somebody who's listening to you too and thinking, there's classes all over the city, right? The people, all you have to do is probably Google, you know, oh, I want to get into clown, or yeah, I think physical movement might be something that I want to add to my repertoire, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People can find classes pretty easily, right?
Yeah, I'd say, I'm recently a contributor of the domain Chicago Physical Theater.
Okay.
And right now, as we speak today, I was working on it.
Very nice.
Working on a resource page for people to find classes. But typically, I say sometimes they can be a little bit hard to find. It's like, you know, you got to go into the city and start asking around and know, like, who to ask and where to look. One thing that a lot of people don't know is that there are 3 full-time, there are 3 large circus schools here in Chicago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Aloft, Actors Gym, and MSA. And there are other places also that train. But like you can usually find physical skills classes in one of those 3 locations, be it circus, and sometimes they'll add physical theater sort of things in there too. But I think a lot of times if you get in touch with the circus community, then they're very quick to, they love collaborating.
They want to bring you in and I would imagine if someone comes to a Heels Overhead show and they see someone doing something they're interested in, they could approach that artist and say, hey, where can I take a class? And I'm sure that person wouldn't say, nowhere, because I want to be the only fire juggling burlesque dancer in town.
Absolutely. So very nice. 110% encouraged. Always talk to our artists.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Heels Overhead, the next show is Friday, July 26th, yet to be determined, perhaps the Piven Theater in Elmhurst. But if you go to Heels Overhead CHI on Facebook, follow them there. You can submit to get to be possibly on the show. You can find out the schedule. You can get all the information you need on the Facebook page. Madison Dempsey, Brittany Anderson, thanks for coming in. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It's fascinating. Tom, we're going to have to go to a show. We're going to go to a show?
I think so.
Tom, sure. How have you never come to a show?
Because I work nights.
You haven't debuted your sword, flaming sword swallowing act?
I've had a little trouble with getting the sword in.
I
light it on fire. The sword's good. Flaming.
Yeah.
And then I go to eat it and I burn my tongue. So
I'm sure there's a class for that.
Yeah, there's gotta be a class for that. Thank you, ladies. Thanks for coming in. Have a great night.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Let's do this. Then it's news time. WGN. I had this on vinyl. Of course I did. Every true American had this on vinyl. That's right. And it ties into what we're going to talk about, because that, of course, song number two of the Thursday Triple Play from Ike. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
And is, of course, the title cut from Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. The picture of Bruce's butt on the album. Not one of my favorite album covers, but iconic, I would say. You know, not that I have anything against Bruce's butt, but...
Well, how do you feel about the Rolling Stones' Sticky Fingers?
It was fine.
You could even unzip that one.
You could unzip that one. It was very exciting. Very exciting. I saw the Stones. Did you see the Stones while they were here? Oh, man. I did. I went and saw the very first night. The show was phenomenal. Phenomenal. For 90-year-old men, they still rock. Let's go back. We're going to get into this misunderstood patriotic songs. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, songs that you thought at first blush, oh, yeah, these are very pro-American. And then you heard them again, or you heard the story behind them, and you went, oh, no, this is not really what's going on. Born in the USA was one. We'll get into that. But, yeah, I didn't have the Sticky Fingers album, but I did see the Stones a couple weeks ago.
So, what'd you think?
I thought they were phenomenal. It was everything I had hoped. I had never seen the Stones, and I wanted... this was one, and I've told this story before, so if you've heard me make this reference, I apologize, but Tom has not. Mm-hmm. And I don't want Tom to miss out any of the pearls of wisdom that fall out of my head.
Oh, no.
Like much camel droppings. But I was not going to let the Rolling Stones be my next Don Rickles, because Don Rickles I had always wanted to see. Always. And for whatever reason, I never saw him. When I was working in Vegas, he was off. When I would go to Vegas as a civilian, he was not there that week. So I didn't get to see him anytime in Vegas. And for whatever reasons, mostly stupid reasons, when he would come here, I never got to see him. And then Don Rickles passed away. And so I know when the Rolling Stones put their tickets on sale and said they were coming, and this was going to be their eighth finale tour. You know, this is they're never coming back again until next time. But there's a point where time and age and the Grim Reaper and everybody kind of conspire against you to say, you know what, this actually is going to be your final tour because you're 117.
Yeah, as my dad used to call them, they're the strolling bones.
First of all, I don't know how any human being can walk upright when they weigh 6 pounds, but let alone not just walk upright, but dance around like a lunatic, like a dervish, like Mick Jagger does. Not only does he only weigh 6 pounds, a month prior to the concert, he had a stent put in his heart. So I paid more for these tickets than I've ever paid for a concert before. Probably the most I will ever pay for a concert, because there's a part of me, there's this old Catholic guilt part of me that is like, I can't pay that kind of money for a concert ticket. It's wasteful.
Holds me back.
Yes, it's wasteful. It definitely held. This was one of the ones I ran by my wife. I said, listen, I really would like to see them, because this is it. And we had just watched the documentary of their show in Cuba, which was a phenomenal, phenomenal documentary. And so we watched that, and then they announced the tickets are going to go on sale, and I'm like, all right, let's see what they are. And we were looking, and I'm like, oh, man, these are, you know, this is rough.
If you don't mind me asking.
They were about $200.
$200?
A little, and with fees, it was $2-something. And these were for $300.
Yeah. So, like, $300 level, that's pretty up there.
That was pretty far up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would say that's not terrible, though. The worst price to pay to go see the Rolling Stones.
And I probably have to reevaluate. We might have paid more to see the Eagles.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wouldn't pay a dime to go see the
That is... I am going to come in there, and I'm going to throttle you. Just with my eyes. I will. There will be no physical contact. This is not... there's no threat of impending doom.
No.
But I'm going to look at you sternly. Hold on.
Oh, I can feel...
You feel the hostility? I'm one of the X-Men. Sterdo. Sterdo. That's my X-Men name.
But you enjoyed the, show.
I enjoyed the show because it was... It was everything I hoped it would be. It was, yes. Was it all hits? Sure, it was all hits. They haven't put out new music in like 17 years or more.
Well, you're not going to go listen to them play Emotional Rescue.
Right.
You know, you want to hear
I want to hear the hits. And of course, being the Rolling Stones and having been around, they said their first concert here was in 1964, I believe, or 67. You know, they've got quite a catalog. So, yes, there were songs that didn't get played that are... that I wanted to hear, but that's welcome to every concert ever. You go and you go, oh, my favorite band didn't do my, oh, why didn't they do that song?
Well, that's why you have people like Fish fans that are literally keeping tally.
There are people?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they keep tally of when certain songs get played and when the last time it actually
really?
Got played. Oh, yeah, they do it. Pearl Jam is really big. Pearl Jam fans are really big into that now.
And what do they hope to accomplish?
Well, they're just
by
keeping
doing that.
Well, they're just keeping some sort of record so that when, you know, say Pearl Jam, for example, goes on tour in you know, next year and they play a song, you know, they play a song called Bush Leaguer from a 2002 album that they haven't played live since 04, since the 04 tour,
okay.
And then people freak out because they're super fans. And I guarantee you there were people at that Stones concert.
Oh, I know there were. Yeah. Oh, there were people who had seen the Stones forever. And plus, this one had a lot of significance. It was getting worldwide attention and worldwide attendance because it was the first one. With Mixed Health, nobody knows if the tour... how long the tour will go. Hopefully it goes to completion, but you never know. And, but yeah, Ronnie Wood was out of his mind. He was the presence other than, you know, Mick is Mick. Mick's in a whole other category.
He's doing his duck walk.
Yeah. But Ronnie Wood was just, he was all over the place. He was fantastic. And Keith was Keith. And Charlie was just back there thinking he'd rather be playing jazz and drinking tea. It was so stoic. Charlie, well, he did smile at one point during the show, which was odd. I thought the world was ending. But, yeah, they were just terrific. And the staging was great. So no matter where you were in Soldier Field, you could see the sound was really good. Everything was top of the line.
I think thus far the biggest concert I've gone to, the biggest kind of production, it wasn't even really much of a production, was Eric Clapton and Steve Winwood.
Oh,
they played the United Center. Me and my dad went.
That was a couple years ago, right?
Oh, more than a couple. This is probably like 2010, maybe.
Okay, well,
somewhere in that
time. 9 years is a couple years to me.
that's probably the biggest concert I've gone to until late this month when I go to see Jeff Lynne's ELO.
Are you going to see ELO?
I'm going to see ELO.
I'm going to tell you, you are going to have a ball because
I know
this because my daughter, when she first moved to New York last year, she was working for an agency.
Right.
And that agency repped someone involved with ELO. And she called me one day and she said, oh, they're offering us tickets to see ELO or something at Madison Square Garden. Should I go? And I said, well, first of all, yeah, if you're getting free tickets, you should go see anything that you get free tickets to because it's free.
Sure.
And that way, if you don't like it, you can leave because you're not out anything. But
that's true.
I said, plus, you're going to love, I really enjoyed ELO. I said, I think you'll like it. And she called me the next day. She said, I loved it. Two, I was surprised how many of the songs I actually knew because she didn't think she knew anything about ELO. So you're going to have a ball.
Yeah, and it's all because of a really dumb bit me and my friends used to do in college. We all liked ELO. I mean, I grew up listening to a little bit of ELO.
Sure.
A ton of people do. But
get a little evil woman?
Yeah.
Sure.
And we had this dumb bit we would do.
Caroline. I'm sorry. What?
We used to do this dumb bit where we said we were in an all keyboard ELO cover band. So whenever when the nights went long, it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning. There we were blasting ELO, pretending to play the piano. Be like, oh, I'm on guitar playing on the keyboard. Oh, I'm drums. I'm keyboard drums. And now I'm keyboard vocals. And so my buddy up in Detroit, he saw they were coming to Chicago, so he bought us all tickets. Everybody who was in the fake ELO band.
The fake ELO band. Yeah. Oh, maybe you send him a note you get to open for him. That would be terrific. If you get the fake ELO open for real ELO. Jeff Lynne's ELO, not the other ELO. The electric. Oh, I hope some. Listen, maybe now somebody, maybe somebody will triple play Thursday with ELO. That'd be fun. Maybe I triple play Thursday with ELO now that we're talking about it. Let's take a quick break, and then we will get into this. We started talking about misunderstood patriotic songs with the Born in the USA. But one real quick thing. We got a text. Would you let Brian know that the Traveling Vietnam War Memorial Wall is in West Dundee this 4th of July weekend? That's from Streamwood Steve. So if you are in that area, or even if you want to go to that area, you can check that out, the Traveling Vietnam War Memorial Wall. That would be very cool. And to finish up our discussion on vinyl, just wanted to let you know, to tell you, some of my vinyl goes back over 40 years. This is according to a texter from the 312. My brother taught me to tape on cassettes to save the vinyl from wearing it out. Oh, you're nodding your head, Tom. You've heard this? This is a secret of the vinyl head enthusiast?
Well, it's just, you know,
can the vinyl really wear out?
It can, yeah. You can literally wear out the grooves because it's an analog format. It's physical. It's contact on contact. So eventually it goes away. The electrical signals get worn out of the vinyl, and it'll start with hissing and popping, the usual stuff, and then eventually you literally cannot listen to it anymore.
All right, well, this way you can now, so that's how cassettes are going to come back. All you people are going to start recording your cassettes, and then then you're set. Then the guy who used to make cassette cases, it's great for the economy.
I'm here for the American worker.
I think America is becoming great again. Right now, I think this is what's going to do it. Vinyl and cassettes are going to make America great. Somebody said they used to rewind their cassettes with a drill. That seems
dangerous.
It seems very that's overkill. That's like taking a blowtorch to an ant. You just use a pencil. Pencils are fun.
Yeah, and safe.
Safer
with a drill. Oh my god!
Yeah, drill. You're going to break something because you got the little plastic sprockets in there. You're going to do, no. That's, I don't condone that. I'm not going to, I say nay, nay. All right, let's do this, and we'll talk about some misunderstood patriotic songs. Maybe, who knows? Maybe not. Maybe we'll talk about whatever else pops into our little heads. Maybe it'll be a whole dissertation on ELO and keyboards. What about guitars? We'll have to get into that, too. Are you sticking to the same album?
No.
Or do they recommend these, do the listeners, did Ike give you the
picked
songs?
All three. Yeah.
I picked all three songs. Okay,
yeah. Very nice. Is Pink Cadillac from?
No, Pink Cadillac is from The River, but Glory Days is from Born in the USA.
Yeah.
So two from Born in the USA, and I believe you can fact check me on that, but I think Pink Cadillac is The River, because The River's a weird double album where it was kind of real somber stuff, but then real upbeat, funky bar. You know, bar jams.
Well, that one's got Hungry Heart on it, yeah?
Yeah.
Love that song.
It's got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. Off a ride, never went back. Like a river that don't know where it's flowing, Tom. He took a wrong turn, and he just kept going.
Beautiful.
Want me to keep going? No, not at all. Thank you. that's the weirdness of this hour, where all of a sudden you get a song lyric in your head, and it just go and go and go and go. All right, we'll start with just the one, and then by the time we come back from the news, we can finish up more of this. I saw that it was interesting because a lot of times, especially during political campaigns, you'll hear a song, a candidate will co-opt a song, and then the artist will say, you know, that song doesn't really mean what you think it means. It's not really as pro-American as you're portraying it to be. So there is a lot of patriotic playlists this time of year. A lot of people playing Lee Greenwood, Proud to Be an American, all these different songs that have America in it, and that's fine. And there's a lot of great songs about this country, and I still, with all its flaws, I still find reason to be proud of this country. Not all the time, but for the most part. But there are songs that some of us construe as patriotic that, in fact, are not so patriotic. So I found this list of songs, and it started out with "Born in the USA." Can we hear a little bit more of "Born in the USA"? Let's just give people a taste.
Yes, let me.
Ted, listen, I'm not.
I got to cue up the record.
Tom's very. Yeah. Oh, That's right. See, that's what you'll never know. I was actually a disc jockey. I played when I my first radio jobs. You had to play records, and they would get Q-burn.
Yeah,
which is if you let's pull the curtain back for a moment. So when you were playing a record on the radio station, you wanted it to come right in at the first note, bang. So when you said, "And here's Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA," bang, I hit the button and boom, 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 boom. Right there. Well, to cue the record, and you've probably seen DJs doing this, if you were ever around a nightclub where they do the scratching, you're scratching it. You're getting the record back. Well, after you do that long enough, you get what's called cue burn in the record. And then you're this, as it ramps up to the thing. Do you have cue burn on your album in there?
Yeah, but I think we can.
You got past it? All right.
Yeah, here we go.
A little bit of this. Now, if you have not listened to anything but the chorus,
born down in a dead man's town, the first kick that took us when I hit the ground, end up like a dog that's been beat too much till you spend half your life just to
come. Oh, and then the politicians take this part. This is exciting.
Born in the USA.
Oh, yeah, we're so proud of ourselves.
Born in the USA.
But then the rest of the song, if you just hear that, you go, oh, yeah, that I can see. You want to be a candidate. You want born in the USA. That's great. It's inspiring. Don't we feel good about being in this country? That's great, sure. But then you listen to the rest of the song, and it's about a guy who gets sent to Vietnam, who has to kill somebody, who loses his friends, and then comes home to a country that doesn't have jobs for him, doesn't accept the soldiers who are coming home. So it's really a protest song wrapped in this feel-good chorus of Born in the USA. And that's why it had, that's why a lot of politicians have gotten, you know, for Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump, a lot of people have tried to use this song, and Springsteen always is quick to put a cease and desist on it. And he doesn't even do it this way in concert anymore. He doesn't do the big produced version of this song in concert anymore. It's a very stripped down, acoustic
yeah,
kind of dark feeling song when he plays it in concert.
It's kind of like when people watch First Blood and they're like, wow, what a cool action movie. Which
yeah,
it is, but it's also about how, you know, Vietnam vets were treated
yes,
at that time. The guys just, Stallone, Rambo, John Rambo, he's just walking.
Yeah, just and a mind cop his own business.
Yeah, mind his own business, and a cop sees fit to make sure that he gets out of town, and then he starts literally torturing him. The PTSD kicks in, and then he goes Rambo, man.
Yeah, and you're a film guy. See if you agree with this. That was the best of the series. There should have been no more. Had they stopped with just First Blood, that was a masterpiece.
Yeah,
it was terrific.
Now I will say this: I have an affinity specifically for Rambo First Blood Part 2, because I think it's an amazing action movie and it's really entertaining. But the
remind me of the plot. I've seen, is that the right one where he's in the mud?
That's when he goes, yeah, he goes back to Vietnam.
Yes.
He goes back to Vietnam, and it's a total kind of like revenge fantasy for the country.
Yes.
Because they're like, what if Rambo went back and won Vietnam, essentially?
By himself.
Yeah. But, and you know, so it loses the intellectualism, which is weird to say about a Stallone movie, but it's really an yes, intellectual story. It's really a smart, well-thought-out emotional story in First Blood. It ditches that, but has way crazier action sequences. Directed by George P. Cosmatos, who's well known for his action films. But by the time you get to Rambo 3, which I still own,
that's I've the got one it, in Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's when yes, he's back in Afghanistan. Sure. That one's just totally whack.
What did you think of the last one?
Oh, just Rambo.
Yeah.
When he's in, I want to say he's in Burma or something,
yes,
and he's got to save some college kids or
yeah,
some
humanitarian
kids,
workers. Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was pretty good. It's like definitely super entertaining. Did you see the trailer for the new one?
There's a new one?
Yeah, Rambo 5, Last Blood, where he's taking on the cartel.
No, I haven't.
Oh, he's got
I
a cowboy
wait,
hat? It's crazy.
No, he does not.
Yeah, he does.
Rambo has a cowboy hat?
Yeah, he's down in, like, he's border town USA.
All right,
and he's fighting the cartel.
I'm going to look at that during the news. It's
Rambo wild.
Rambo 5, Last Blood.
He's old as hell.
Of course he
and
is.
And he's doing it. He's absolutely, he's got the machete. He's doing the whole thing.
Oh, man. See, that's, the first Rambo I thought was great, and the character then devolved, just like the first Lethal Weapon. Mel Gibson's character in the first Lethal Weapon was phenomenal. We'll have to talk about this and more misunderstood patriotic songs after the news. We got a lot to get to, and we only have a couple more hours. All right, let's do this, then it's news time.
Like the burning end of a midnight cigarette, she broke his heart. He spent his whole life trying to forget.
Brad Paisley, right?
We watched him drink his pain away a little at a time, but he never could.
This song could not be more depressing. Happy 4th of July. It's Triple Play Thursday. So what is this? I know it's Brad Paisley.
Yes, Brad Paisley, Whiskey Lullaby.
Yes.
And that's from his album Mud on the Tires.
Of course.
And coming to us from our good pal Squat.
Thanks, Squat. I like Brad Paisley. Normally, Brad Paisley, very upbeat, happy guy. And I like that song, too, but you got to be in a right, you got to be in the right mood. Now, it may tie into the tragic fire at the Jim Beam factory, which we'll get to. Yeah. But we are gonna do more of these patriotic songs, or maybe we won't. But I have to go back to something we were talking about before the news. I am in the midst of watching the Last Blood trailer. So if I am to believe this, Rambo has retired to a beautiful farm somewhere. Now, I don't know. I can't remember what happened to him at the end of Burma.
Yeah, I don't.
Rambo.
It's been a while since
I'm guessing he was on a boat. I know he was on the boat at some point. I don't know what happened to him at the end. But somehow, if what I'm to believe is he has found his way back to the U.S. of A. and he's living on a beautiful farm somewhere. There's a windmill, a lot of land. He's sitting on a porch in a rocking chair, still wearing his combat boots, though, because he's always ready. And then they show him ambling out to a burial site. I don't know who's buried on his farm, because hopefully they'll give us some story. Did he find a love? Was it his dog? Is it the general that he had dug up and brought to his property?
Oh, man. Can you imagine? That would actually be a pretty... That'd be an interesting plot in the movie.
That he brought... What's the general's name?
Oh, my God. I can't remember for the life of me.
But he dug him up, had him exhumed, and then brought to his property and buried there so he could talk to him. Thanks for first blood. So he could just talk and talk. But then they show inside his house, and it's more like a bunker. There's guns everywhere. There's little attack windows. And then at some point, he's got the machete.
Yeah.
And he's doing some business.
And it's Colonel Troutman.
Colonel Troutman,
played
right.
by the great Richard Crenna.
Yes, yes. All right, So do you think it's Troutman's body that he walks out to visit on his land?
God, if I walked into that movie and that was the reveal, was like, oh, yeah, I buried my best friend and commanding officer in my ranch, and it's Colonel Troutman, I think I'd be like, all right, it's film of the year. We've done it. We've finally taken that subtext and made it very
either that
very
or
real.
I've missed my calling.
Yeah.
Wow, he was right. That's weird. So yes, now I'm all in. I'm pushing all my chips to the middle of the table. All in on Rambo 5 Last Blood. Because I got to tell you, if he ends it the way he ended the Rocky series, even though he cheated and brought Rocky back in the Creed movies, but Rocky Balboa, the final Rocky movie, I thought was terrific. I thought it was a great way to wrap up the entire story. Had he left Rocky there and not brought him back with Adonis Creed, it would have been a fitting end to a cultural touchstone that took a lot of really bad twists and turns.
You're not a big fan of Thunderlips?
Thunderlips, the Ultimate Man? Of course I am. From Rocky III, right before he fought Clubber Lang. Yo, come here, real man, Ms. Balboa. Yes, oh, the indomitable Mr. T is Clubber Lang. Thank you. I loved when Thunderlips the Ultimate Man came in. I didn't appreciate Paulie having an argument with a robot butler. That was weird.
That was super weird. I'll say this. I think the only Rocky movie that I find more or less unwatchable is the one with his kid in it, Tommy Gunn.
Oh, is that's that five?
Yeah, Rocky Five is pretty much unwatchable. It's super boring.
Come on, Tommy.
Yeah.
Look at Tommy.
At least with 3 and 4, you've got some amazing villains. You've got Ivan Drago.
Ivan Drago is a great villain. Clever Lang's a great villain. You know, Mr. T should have retired right after that because he never did better than Clever Lang. You know, Apollo Creed is a great foil. All right, so let's change this into, because we started talking about this before, as we were talking about, I can't even remember. Oh, we started talking about Lethal Weapon, but what was the first one? What was the first series we were talking about with the characters that changed, it got bad?
Oh, well, we were talking about...
it was First Blood.
Rambo, yeah.
Yeah, it was Rambo. Blood. Okay, so Rambo. So we talked about Rambo, then I started to talk, we ran out of time, but characters who've, as the series have gone on, kind of lost touch with what it really was at the beginning. And this is great to have you here to talk about this, Tom, because I've thought about this a lot. And I always go back, like Rambo we mentioned. All right, the first one was great. And Rambo, in the first movie, you could believe that this was a Special Forces guy.
Yeah, and he's tragic.
Tragic. The world is against him. All the promises that were made to him have not been fulfilled. He doesn't look like a cartoon character. He just looks like a really well-trained soldier.
Yeah, he looks like he was a Green Beret.
Yeah, so it's perfect. And then, because Stallone decides he's got it for Rocky and for First Blood and the Rambo, he becomes like a professional wrestler. You know, with all the steroids and the weird physique, and where it's like, this isn't... Now he's not a real guy anymore. Now he's a cartoon.
It is incredible, though. The transformation from First Blood to First Blood Part 2 is ridiculous.
Well, look, from Rocky to Rocky 2.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And from Rocky to Rocky 3, it's like, dude.
He just,
wow.
Well, when you have all the time in the world to get absolutely jacked.
And you have people on staff that will cook for you and train you nonstop. It's not like you and I going to the gym and going, I wonder what's going to make me look like that. Nothing. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
You've got people on staff whose entire job is to transform your body into something cartoonish. So because of the physical transformation, the character transformed too. And if you go back to the first Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson's character in that one was a suicidal, psychotic, really troubled cop. And then, as the Lethal Weapon series went on, he became a clown with bursts of violence and a little hint of that psychosis, but never the deep level of troubled guy that we saw in the first movie. Agree or disagree?
I mean, it's just observable that that's there, because Lethal Weapon was so tied into bringing in the buddy cop movie to its zenith.
Yeah,
really, because in that time period, you've got Lethal Weapon, you've got 48 Hours,
you've got
a bunch of others that come through. But honestly, I like Lethal Weapon 2 the best. That's my favorite one.
Really?
Yeah, because I think it's a really weird setup with the whole like South African consulate, and it's right in the middle of apartheid, and they're like dealing with it.
Yeah.
They're commenting on apartheid the entire time.
Right.
While making a buddy cop movie. And plus, Danny Glover gets the best
Danny Glover's
ending.
Great.
He gets the best ending line in action movie history.
Refresh my memory.
It's when the guy from the South African consulate, he's like, diplomatic immunity. And then Danny Glover pulls the gun. It's just been revoked.
Roll credits.
It. Yeah, exactly. It's amazing.
Very nice. Those two really bothered me. And then the whole Rambo thing is nuts. I don't know. But thank you for turning me on to Rambo 5, Last Blood.
It's gonna be the event of the year, of the summer.
When is this coming out?
Oh, I want to say it's gonna be November.
All right. Release date September 20th.
Okay.
Yeah. September 20th, 2019. Director Adrian Grunberg. What do you know about him? Anything?
Very little. He seems to just be kind of a... Let's see. Yeah, he was an assistant director on on Wall Street 2 and a couple of Mel Gibson movies.
Fantastic. Here's the tagline. When a friend's daughter is kidnapped, Rambo crosses the U.S.-Mexico border to bring her home, but finds himself up against one of Mexico's most ruthless cartels. Will Rambo die at the end? Can we actually get Last Blood? Of course he'll successfully complete his mission. We know that.
Yeah.
But will it be at his own peril?
I don't think he's going to get killed, because I think Sylvester Stallone would have a problem with it.
With Rambo getting killed?
Yeah, he's
put
like...
Rambo die in his rock... Can he make it back to his rocking chair and the Troutman grave?
That'd be great.
Lay down like a dog? And
he just kind of like... He's like, that's my last mission.
Kind of just like
the sun sets, you know? That'd be kind of cool. I'd be on board with that.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would it be like...
I don't need him to get blown up. I don't need him to get shot in the face.
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't need to. Or like... tragic demise.
I could see like a tragic stab. Like, oh, no, he got me. But the girl's safe, you know?
I could see it ending much like Captain America in Endgame, which would get me so choked up and, you know?
Yeah.
I was emotionally drained. Is that a spoiler? Are we past the point where we could do spoilers?
Yeah, I mean, it's back in theaters again, so really you have no excuse.
Yeah.
Just get in and watch it.
So, yeah, just old age catches up to Rambo. Just sits down. Maybe he just unties. Maybe he just takes the combat boots off and sets them at the end of the bed and lays down.
Well, because how poetic would that be? A man whose life is defined by violence, and he's been used as a weapon.
Oh,
you know, and he's all he's ever been doing is fighting, and he gets to finally have the peaceful.
That's how
a nice peaceful ending. That'd be good.
That would be great. Maybe a puppy runs up on the porch.
Okay,
Rambo strangles.
Rambo 6 to the dogs.
One more kill. I just need one more kill. That's horrible. But I would like a peaceful ending for Rambo. I don't know how that comes, but that would be fun. Or don't poo-poo this yet, Tom. Think about it all the way through. We start a new franchise because Rambo finally gets back to the farm. One night he's watching TV and he hears sounds from outside. Troutman zombie rises from the grave. Now it's Rambo Zombie Hunter for the next 3-4 movies.
The sequels write themselves, Hollywood. Just give us a call.
Yeah, we're here.
We're here.
We're here for you. We are, you know, we'll work, you know, union rate plus a little bump. We want a point. We want some points.
I'm going to need some points.
Yeah,
on
that we
picture.
Need some points. I'll, you know, up front. You'll get me for pretty reasonable price, but then I do need some points. Because you know Rambo Zombie Hunter is going to be huge.
It's going to be massive.
It'll come out
picture.
Next Halloween. Troutman. Colonel, what's the matter? You don't look so good, Colonel. You don't look so good. Oh!
Yeah.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Quality entertainment.
Listen, this country doesn't need quality entertainment, obviously. Putting out Rambo 5. We just need... We just need stuff. More stuff. Just put out more. All right. We got to do this. And then there'll be more because we're just putting out stuff here on WGN.
I can make anybody pretty.
Mm-hmm. Alcohol. I can make Brad Paisley. Tom shaking his head. Not a Brad Paisley fan.
Some people are into Brad Paisley. That's fine. It's cool.
Kimberly, the woman from Father of the Bride, she's into Brad Paisley. Been married for a long time. I don't know. I like Brad. I saw Brad Paisley. Brad Paisley is a heck of a guitarist.
No, I remember there was a few years back, there was this really bad flooding in Nashville, and a bunch of his guitars got... I felt really bad for him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't hate the guy. I just...
Yeah, what's your beef with Brad Paisley? What's the beef, Tom? All of a sudden, Brad Paisley comes up. You turn very Martin Riggs on us. You're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
You're just not a better... Don't like the big white hat?
Too
country for you?
A little too country.
A little too country? And songs like that, you don't like the more novelty-ish kind of songs? You like a more
heartfelt
troubadour?
They seem like all novelty songs, a lot of them.
All the country songs or all Brad Paisley songs?
A lot of country songs. And, you know, there's a lot of country fans
out
there.
Well, Brad doesn't do bro country. I am not a fan
of... I don't know.
I'm not a fan of bro country.
Fair enough. He's not Florida Georgia Line.
He's not tan girls getting up in the truck in their cut-off shorts, which is pretty much every song.
Yeah. Like, I mean, do you have a country song if you're not singing about your truck, your jeans, your beer, or your woman?
Well, that's David Allen Coe, the perfect country western song.
Well, hold on. Hilarious.
My friend Steve Goodman said, you have not written the perfect country western song because you didn't say anything about mama or trucks
or prison.
Or trains. or prison or getting drunk. So I sat down and I wrote another verse, and it goes like this here.
Yeah. No, I think David Allan Coe is great because he seemed to have a certain self-awareness about it, whereas I think sometimes you get country singers who bought really hard into the image,
yes,
as opposed to the real, like, kind of outlaw country lifestyle that David Allan Coe was
and Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash and all those guys. And even when they first came up, you know, a lot of more modern guys, Randy Travis, Alan Jackson, even Brad Paisley, you know, there's
he's a lot older than I thought he was.
Yeah. He's been around a long time. There's still a tie to more traditional country with them. Whereas a lot of the new guys, it's, you know, once Shania Twain and Taylor Swift and some of the, and Garth Brooks, once they crossed over into like pop and mainstream stuff, that's when the country lines got blurred.
Well, what about Glenn Campbell?
Yeah, but Glenn Campbell was a different case because he was writing songs. He was a songwriter, uh-huh, first and foremost, and a folk singer kind of. And then he became an actor as well.
Right.
So, you know, there were Ronnie Millsap had a couple that crossed over, things like that. But it was like a couple here and there. And then they would still go back to their country roots. Whereas, uh-huh, like, once Taylor jumped, she jumped.
She was.
And Shania, kind of the same thing. Her stuff went from more country feel to a much more pop feel after a certain point.
Because with Glenn Campbell, for every Rhinestone Cowboy, there's a Wichita line.
Oh, right. Yeah. And Rhinestone Cowboy, you know, okay. Everybody's got a song like that you kind of write for the time that you're in, and things go that way. But I like that Tom gets so revved up about Brad Paisley. Somebody texted in that there's a new Lethal Weapon coming out with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. So I've been looking for that. It seems like that is a rumor. There is a rumor that it's in production. Richard Donner has been talking. The cast is kind of hinting at it, but nothing is done. Nothing is finalized. So we don't know if that new Lethal Weapon is coming out. And then somebody else texted in, I did not know this, that in the book First Blood, which was by David Morrell, that Rambo dies at the end. So now I have to read again. I have to read a book. Oh, that'll be so troublesome. Had you read the book about? Have you read the First Blood book?
No, I know it existed, and they had a different. It was a very different sort of story.
Yeah, somebody said it set up a different. The Rambo's Vietnam War hero against the sheriff's Korean War hero.
Yeah,
and that was a big thing. And they say Rambo died at the end of the book.
Yeah, no, I think on the, like, the DVD and stuff like that, they shot it where Rambo dies. There's a version of that movie where Rambo dies.
Oh, you can't have Rambo die.
No. Well, they just went with, they thought it wouldn't, for them, they were just like, well, you can't kill Sly Stallone.
Right.
He's a huge movie star. You can't kill Sly Stallone.
Right.
That was the thinking back in the 80s.
Plus, we see, you know, dollar signs. This is a franchise.
Yeah.
This is getting all franchisey. Do you watch all those? I have never watched any of the bonus stuff on DVDs.
That's, what? Why not?
I don't know. I don't have time. I don't have time for all that.
Well, let me ask you this question. Are you a person that, do you rewatch movies often?
It depends on the film. But yes, there are films that I have rewatched numerous times.
Okay. Don't you ever get curious about how it was made and some of the choices that got made? Now, I know plenty of people that don't want to watch the special features because they don't want to get the magic ruined. Like, you know, they're just like, I just want to watch the movie and not really think about how it happened, more just experience the product.
No, I mean, I've been on enough TV sets. I know how things happen.
All right, so you know how the sausage gets made.
Yeah, I know all that stuff.
But, like, I mean, specific stuff. Like, literally yesterday, I watched... Have you ever seen To Live and Die in L.A.?
Yes.
I put on the William Friedkin commentary.
Okay.
He was just talking throughout the entire, like, two-hour movie, just listening to William Friedkin talk about how he made To Live and Die in L.A. I was enraptured. I was like, oh, this guy's... He's a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
Worked at WGN-TV in the mailroom.
Nice.
By accident, no less. That was an accident that he wound up there. And
now, does that come out through the commentary, or is that,
That I just knew, but I think he talked about it, like, talking about how he got into directing.
Yeah.
He talks about it. I'm pretty sure he went to Senn High School and then dropped out.
Wow.
He's a high school dropout. But regardless, like, I love watching the special features because I love movies so much. I love knowing how things are done.
Yeah.
That I don't get the chance to go on movie sets. This is the closest I'm ever going to get.
Right.
Is watching a little featurette.
Never
about
say
it.
Never, Tom. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? You may, maybe, you know, there's a lot of production here. Maybe you chuck this glamorous radio life and go be a PA somewhere. Assistant cameraman. Maybe you're a gaffer. Do you want to be a best boy? What would you like to be?
I'd be the best boy. I always want someone to call me their best boy.
I always say you're a good boy. You're not the best yet, but you're working at it, which is always good.
Yes.
You're one of the best boys. We'll leave it at that for right now. Let's do this. Then it's news time. WGN. Never been to second base, but there's a whole other me you need to see. Go check out my space. I know this is a song you probably detest, but there's something. It's a perfect snapshot of what really is happening online. So much better online. Is that the name of the song?
It's just called Online. But I got to comment on the music video here. Have you seen the music video
for Online?
For Online,
not in a long time. Refresh my memory.
All right. George Costanza, Jason Alexander is the nerdy guy who's trying to appear different online. So there's that. There's George Costanza in a Brad Paisley video. And, let's see when this song came out. This is from 2009.
Okay. 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
When Brad Paisley was just a child. A young man.
Well, and he thought it was like really representative of the internet to have him singing and playing his Telecaster in front of some, like, you know, Matrix style numbers. And well, I'm like, dude, what do you think the internet is, man? Like,
well, you know what the internet is back then. It was all code. It was new. It was scary. Is that Taylor
new in 2009?
No, you're right. Well, Taylor Swift is dancing behind him.
I saw Patrick Warburton.
There's a lot
this?
Of people in there. Yeah, George Costanza's mother, Doris, is it Doris Roberts? I think that's her name.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
William Shatner. Wow, he really pulled out all the
there's
stops
MySpace.
Here.
There's MySpace, because they've still got MySpace. But yeah, it is very Matrix-y.
I can't even believe
it. Oh, and that's
it.
Carrie Underwood dancing behind him, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He really went for it. He really went for it.
Well, somebody, it was a big hit for him.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly.
Well, Brad Paisley has always also fashioned himself kind of a comic persona.
I've noticed that with the Nationwide commercials that he does with Peyton Manning.
Yes, those. And then he hosts the CMAs with or one of the Country Music Award shows with Carrie Underwood for years. And they would have a witty banter. That was a writer, witty banter. So they would deliver his words. But, yeah, he always, I don't know. He's one of those guys, you know, I got no
He doesn't
I got no
seem
beef.
Too self-serious. I'll
no,
say
he
that
does
much.
Not take himself seriously.
Yeah, I think I appreciate that.
And he puts
person.
On a good show. I saw him a couple summers ago. And, you know, when you're sitting outside on the grassy hill on a nice summer night and you paid $20 to see Brad Paisley, you're going to have a good time.
Do you put on the cowboy hat?
No, I didn't have a cowboy hat at the time. No, but it's summer. What am I?
No chaps?
No, well, just the chaps, sure. Chaps, a mesh t-shirt because it's hot out, you know, an adult diaper because I'm not a savage, and then just the chaps.
Well, you have a chance. He's coming to Tinley Park.
That's where I saw him. He always comes to Tinley, the big shed.
He's coming back, yeah, the big shed.
I don't know what, because I just call it the big shed because it changes names all the time.
That's true.
I don't know.
Well, I think it used to be called the Tweeter Center at one point.
Well, it started out as the World. That was when it opened. It was the World Music Theater. Mm-hmm. Then it was the New World Music Theater. Because they, you know, they ran out of original people down in Tinley who were
the new world music.
The really new music theater. Then it was the Tweeter Center. Then it was the now it's the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
There was something in between.
There was something in between there.
But I can't
yeah, it was another corporate, you know, a corporate name.
But yeah, he'll be here in August.
Something Pavilion.
Oh, man.
Oh.
I want to say it's something bank. Bank.
Yes, First Midwest Bank Pavilion.
There it is.
That was the First Midwest Bank Pavilion. Now it's the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Next week it's going to be Brian's Big Shed. And then it'll probably go out of business. Because I am not going to do well at managing an entire concert venue. Listen, I do like that place, though.
It's a great place.
It's a great place. You can sit. I love sitting on the lawn. I don't remember the last time I bought a seat there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I buy my tickets to sit on the grass, but I like to go take my little beach chair, sit there on the grass, $20-$25.
But boom. It's not like Ravinia. You don't bring your own wine.
No, unfortunately,
Ravinia, you can.
Yeah,
this one you can.
Unfortunately, you cannot. But they have allowed. They have loosened things up where now you can at least bring a water bottle in.
Yeah,
you know, you can bring.
As you pay
water.
$9 for a Bud Light,
that's not happening. That's, you know what I like about there? I revert back to my youth and my misspent youth, and we have parking lot beers before we go.
Oh,
in.
You animal.
We parking lot beer it, and then we go in, and then by the time the show is over, it's been, you know, 3 hours since we had a beer. It's time to go home.
You're sober as a clam.
Sober as a judge. A really drunk judge. Oh, that's not true, but the parking lot beer is definitely true. Because you get there early, and it's like, well, as much as I lament paying high prices for concert tickets, paying an exorbitant amount for a beer makes me crazy. I won't do it. Like, I'll sit there the entire night and not have a beer at the concert because there's no way I'm paying $15 for a can of light beer. There's, you could do, well, it's a 24-ouncer. Okay, that's great. I just bought a case of light at Costco for $13. That's 24 beers.
Are you telling me that you are trying to single-handedly sink the entertainment economy?
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
This is how they make their bread.
I understand, and I'm happy to see all the people there dishing over all that money. But I just can't do it.
I know I'm horrible at Wrigley. Oh, I go all out at Wrigley.
Do you?
I do. Well, now
they've got the new craft beer areas, too. What are they charging for a craft beer up there?
I don't know. I'm drinking Budweiser.
All right. What are they charging for a Budweiser?
Oh, geez. I'm going to say like $8.50 or $9.
Okay.
And I pay it, especially when it's the beer guy. I pay it plus tip.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that I feel like that is the most American thing you can do. I brought my my cousin from Scotland came to visit not too long ago. And in the UK, you cannot drink in stadiums. They do not serve booze.
Well, good, because they're crazy hooligans over there. They'll get,
they're insane. They had to stop. They were like, we can't serve alcohol in these stadiums. It's just not going to work. So he comes to Chicago, and I bring him to his first Cubs game. And we're sitting there, and I was like, hey, do you want a beer? And he's like, what?
Did you smuggle one in?
I was like, did you bring one in? I was like, no, I'm going to go get you a beer, man. I'm going to go get you a Budweiser. You want a Budweiser? He's like, yeah, no, that's great. And then a little bit later in the game, I was like, hey, you want another beer? And he's like, yeah. And then you do the thing where you make the icon, you're like, hey, beer,
yep.
Budweiser, you know, and you put your hand up, you call for him. And the guy brings beers to us.
Right.
And he's just like, wait, so you're telling me not only can you drink in American stadiums, they will bring the beer to you.
Yeah, we're lazy here in America. You don't need to walk out and get a beer.
It's exercising our greatest freedom, I think. I think it's great. People are it's capitalism to a T. They're filling a need. A need and a want. I don't want to get up to get my beer, so they're going to bring it to me at a premium.
Yeah, the premium is what gets me. You know, and I will occasionally at the Cell or Guaranteed Rate Field or wherever it is the White Sox are playing these days, I will occasionally get a beer from a vendor, and then you tip, and that's fine, but it always kills me. So at the concerts, I try not to. Concerts, I'll parking lot beer it and then go in. I think I had the Rolling Stones; they were charging some exorbitant kind of prices. Mm-hmm. I had a beer bought for me by the person who gave the ticket to.
Oh, nice.
So they bought me a beer. But, yeah, it's, I don't know. There's certain, now I feel like my dad was always, my dad never thought a shirt and tie should cost more than $25. He always
I was like, come on, man.
He always paid more than $25. He was always very well dressed. But in his heart, he really thought that they really shouldn't do that. And I really think that once a beer gets to like, if I'm at a bar, mm-hmm. at a tap room or something, and I'm paying $6 for a pint, that's about where I go, okay, this is, I'm okay paying this.
And it's probably a pretty decent pint. It's probably either imported or craft.
Right. And I'll go, okay, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's more than that, especially for, and there's nothing wrong with Budweiser or Miller Lite or any of those beers. I drink them. But when it's $11, $12 for a can, I'm like,
It better be one of those ridiculous like Belgian triple box or whatever that'll put you on your butt in one pint.
Yes, exactly.
They can't even serve it in a pint. It has to be 10 ounces.
And I know, right, exactly. And I know that's, you know, they're making their money. And you know why they charge it? Because people pay it.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden people were like, we can't pay more than $6 for a beer. And when $6 was, you know, $6 used to be like, oh my God, $6. Then it was $7.50. Like, oh no, what are they gonna, $10? What? I would rather be a teetotaler, you know. But then I'm paying $38 for tea down in this fancy tea room at the at the stadium. All right. So do we have another triple play coming up? I'll just wait and see.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think people were listening, and I think we got a little bit of a request based on our conversation.
Really? So this is going to be very exciting. We'll talk about some unusual 4th of July traditions across the nation and what you need to know if you're going to be blowing stuff up over the next day or two. A new triple play for Triple Play Thursdays. Brian Noonan in for Nick. A lot to cover in the final hour. What is this triple play now, Mr. Hush?
It's a little ELO.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's this one I did not recognize.
Yeah, so it's from the...
Is it a deep cut?
I would say so. It's from the album Time.
Okay.
And this is coming to us from Scott. I think he requested... You know, I have a little bit of trouble finding a specific song.
Sure,
you know,
sure,
even
sure.
Though the internet is vast and deep.
Not that deep. A deep cut is even deeper.
Yeah. So I found the album Time and I just played a cut off of that. So I hope that's okay, Scott.
Okay.
I'll try to do better on the other two if I can find them.
Wow. All right. Another correction. A lot of corrections this morning. We're always willing to correct ourselves. Doris Roberts was not George Costanza's mom. That was Raymond's mom. It's Raymond's mom.
I mean, two sitcoms on during roughly the same time period.
And the women are both great actresses, very similar.
Both legends, yeah.
Oh, yeah, both legends. I ran into Doris Roberts once at Headshot. I ran into Doris Roberts at a head shop.
I was like, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, we were doing bong rips. It was fabulous. No, we were when I was living in Los Angeles, you used to go, you used to get your headshot done. And then you would take your prints to a copying place, to a headshot place, and they would, you know, frame them up and put your name on there and da-da-da-da-da. And a buddy of mine and I were in getting our headshots done, and here comes Doris Roberts. And I was like, oh, man, look at this. We said hello. She was very nice. But then I thought, well, she's just like us, except she's, you know, on hit shows and has a long career. And we're a couple guys, you know, in the valley trying to get our headshots done so we can go audition to be, you know, fat guy number 3 on some sitcom.
Oh, yeah. Brian.
What? Well, that was when I was, you know, that was when the most humbling thing about Los Angeles or being an actor is you think you're unique as a human being mm-hmm. till you walk into a room and there's 40 other guys who look exactly like you. And you go,
Have you ever thought about writing a book?
Yes, I've actually been approached about writing a book, but I'm too lazy.
That's too bad. I would have read it.
You'd read my book?
I'd read.
Really? Just that chapter of me and Doris Roberts.
Fat guy number three, the Brian Noonan story.
Oh, my goodness. It was it's a crazy tale, Tom. There's a lot going on there.
I believe it.
There's a at some point before my faculties fail me, I will sit down and try to recall my checkered life. It's been a lot has gone on.
Chapter one, Long John Silver's.
Oh, that was, yes. You heard me talk to Carm about that. Sure.
Yes, sir.
It went on over the air. Did it? That's true, though, about the crepe soles of my shoes getting eaten away by the grease.
I'm not surprised.
I would walk out, and this was when crepe soles were big back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I'd walk out at the end of my shift, and I'd go, oh, man, there's something on the bottom of my shoe. And I'd rub it on the concrete step out behind Long John Silver's next to the dumpster. And it wasn't that there was something on my shoe. It was just my shoe was being eaten away. It was like, ew. But yeah, and this was back when Long John Silver's, when I don't know if you ever were there back in the day, where you'd walk in and everything was behind the glass. So you know, we'd cook it up in the fryer and then we'd toss it in there and you'd walk in and you'd see it and you'd go, oh, there's, you know, the chicken planks and the fish and, you know, there's still something about that batter. It has a taste that no other batter does. I love it. I used to eat those chicken planks like they contained the cure for all that ailed the world. It was delicious. Delicious, which might explain a lot. And then somebody asked me just the other day, I don't know why it came up. We were talking about Long John Silver's, and I think, I don't know why I'm so proud of the fact that I used to work at a Long John Silver's, but I brought it up to somebody, and they're like, what are those things that everybody, that just be in the bottom of the basket? What were those things that were so good? I go, it's just batter that fell off that we'd scrape up. Can we get extra crunchies? People just wanted to eat the batter bits. And so you'd get your 3-piece fish dinner. People would ask for extra crispies, and we'd just kind of scrape them off, put them in there. Yeah, it's delicious. Do you ever work fast food?
I did. I worked at a place called Cheesy's.
The grilled cheese
grilled
place?
Grilled cheese place, yeah.
Ooh, that's kind of upscale fast food, though.
It's a little fast. Fast casual is the term. But in terms of what we were doing, it was still like working at a McDonald's, really, in terms of... I worked at the ill-fated Evanston location.
Oh, that did not go well in Evanston? They did not like grilled cheese?
Which is weird because...
In the land of the Wildcats?
Well, we were right next to the university. So you would really think that, like, oh, yeah, drunk college students, they're going to come in and get a grilled cheese. It's great drunk food.
Yeah, that would be That seems like a can't-miss location.
And there would be literally days... I used to work... You know, right? There were opening shifts, closing shifts.
Sure, sure.
But on Sundays, it was just one big shift.
Okay.
Because, you know, through the week, we'd be open until, like, and most of the weekend, we'd be open until, like, 4 or 5 in the morning. But on Sundays, we closed at 10.
Oh, sure. Because everybody's got to go to class.
Everyone's got to go. Yeah, we just, like, and work. We weren't going to, it wasn't even worth it to stay open. But they wouldn't do an opening and closing shift. They would just schedule one 12-hour, 10 to 10.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So me...
That's too much grilled cheese.
Yeah. But no one would ever come in. It was like a Sunday. For some reason, no one would ever come in.
Church? You think it's church?
Man, who knows? I'd take my kids to Cheesy's after church as a little thing, but...
Maybe people like a more traditional breakfast than a grilled cheese brunch.
But nothing like we grilled cheese there for 12 hours.
You sold liquor in there, right? It was a bar.
Oh, yeah. We had a bar section.
Did you have a TV?
Yeah, we had like 14. Since no one would come in, me and my roommate / coworker at the time, Ben, would sit there for 12 hours making maybe, I don't know, 4 sandwiches every 3 hours and just sit in the booths and watch whatever was on AMC that day, usually a movie. So we got through Top Gun, Jurassic. We would watch entire movies having done nothing. The place was spotless.
Yeah, because nobody's coming to make a mess.
We would clean everything and then just sit there and wait for things to happen.
I wonder why that didn't. What kind of things were popular up in Evanston? Because, like you said, you go with a college campus. That's going to be a great location. Mm-hmm. Kids are going to want to go. College students, maybe families, young families want to go there for grilled cheese. The little kids love grilled cheese.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Buffalo Joe's is pretty popular up there. Buffalo Joe's is a staple.
Okay.
I mean, they've got Chili's up there, but that's not really people don't choose.
It's not Chili's or Cheesy's. Yeah, it's not the same conversation.
Thing. Exactly. So I really don't. There's a lot of stuff up there.
You'd think somebody from the business school would have looked into this and tried to figure out why. Exactly. The mystery of Cheesy's. This is a tragic tale. If you're a doctoral student right now and you need some sort of subject matter for your thesis, I would look into the failure of Cheesy's Evanston as a business. Which, on paper, again, a no-brainer.
It should do
no miss. Yeah, it should be. Oh man, we should be making grilled cheese hand over fist.
Well, especially because at the Belmont location, they expanded it.
That Belmont location is insane.
It's awesome. I love it. They make pizza now.
Do they
make
really?
Pizza as in addition? They've got an extra bar that
where
they
did
added
they go?
On.
Which way did they go?
They moved
toward the tracks. No, because that's nightclub.
They went away from the tracks because Berlin is right next
to
it.
Yes, that's it. Yeah,
and then they moved and took up some space
toward the barbecue joint on the corner.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're doing great. You know, it's I really enjoy the food. You can't have it every day.
No.
Because you'll get physically ill, like I did many times working there.
Well, you have
no
to
money.
You have to sample them all to, you know, so when a customer says, what do you think of this one?
Exactly. If they want to know what a tenderizer tasted like, well, I had to be able to tell.
Sure, you got to know.
Or the, my favorite was El Jefe, which was, a taco meat. Grilled cheese inside of a quesadilla.
Ooh.
Which is horrible for your blood pressure.
That sounds like
my GP can tell you that.
My arteries are closing up just hearing about that. But yet, as my arteries close, my mouth waters. A couple of Long John Silver's tweets. I'm saddened that our Long John Silver's in Belvedere closed. Now the KFC / Long John Silver's is just a KFC. That from Annette. She's very sad. And from the 815, I worked at the Long John Silver's in Rolling Meadows. I was in high school. I loved working there. Everyone always wanted extra crunchies drenched in vinegar. Their malt vinegar was top of the line.
It's good malt vinegar.
Top of the line. Now it's all these hybrids. You got Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken, or Taco Bell. Because
they're all owned by the same brands.
Yum brands. Yum, yum. Yeah, and they figure, well, so now it's just a KFC, huh? Sorry, Annette. Well, I'm trying. I can't remember the last time I actually ate at a Long John Silver's. But I still have fond memories. That costume was the worst, though. Did you ever work at a place where you had to wear a costume?
Wear a costume. When I worked at iHeartMedia, I worked at Kiss FM, I had to be Rudolph.
Really?
Yeah, you got way extra paid. You got paid like $150 an hour.
To be a reindeer?
Yeah, well, you had to go on location and everything like that. You had to be at the events, and you had to be happy and joyful and give things to kids. And
that part I don't cotton to. No. But wearing a costume and getting paid extra dough, I wonder if they do that for me here. Not too bad. All right, we got to do this, and in 27 seconds, we'll talk to Dave Schwann. There we go. Little ELO, part of our Triple Play on Triple Play Thursday. This one was brought, the ELO was
from
requested
Scott.
By Scott.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Their cover of Roll Over Beethoven.
Now, is this their cover or your all keyboard band, ELO tribute band's cover of an ELO cover?
We're indistinguishable. Usually me and my buddies, when we get on the keyboards and set it to the different instruments, as we do drum keyboards, guitar keyboards, bass keyboards, keyboard keyboards, and
vocal
keyboards.
Oh, you got to have keyboard keyboards or vocal keyboards.
It was very hard to record every single syllable that Jeff Lynne says into a keyboard, but we managed to do it.
That's dedication.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised you guys didn't skyrocket to fame. You know, the festival circuit.
It's a tough world out there. In the entertainment
business. The entertainment business is a rough road. It's not for everybody. You know, sometimes you hit the top, sometimes you're just in the gutter. I'm a little thrown off, Tom. I got to be honest, because I know theoretically it is Thursday morning. Is that correct?
According to prevailing theories,
Thursday, July 4th. And yet I look in the monitors. Well, first I look through the glass and I see you. Then we had the lovely and talented Dave Schwann just do the news. Then I look at the monitor for the sports department, and lo and behold, there's Andy Mazur. And I think to myself, well, this is Sunday morning, and I'm obviously Dean Richards.
Yeah, you're Dean.
But I think I'm filling in for Nick. So I don't know what's going on here. All the boys are here.
Yeah.
Everybody's back.
It's a flashback.
It is a flashback to Sunday morning. It's much darker than it used to be when I'd come in for Dean and you guys were all there. But easier to stay awake during that shift. Just because I've had a night's sleep. This is I do miss. I got to be honest. I make some jokes about it. I do miss there's a freedom in this overnight shift that I really enjoy, and I'm sure Nick loves it so much.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some of the best listeners in the world. Staying up with us,
not just sucking up. And you're not sucking up.
No, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. I get to talk to him on the phone. I get to talk to him via text. So the nicest. Most loyal listeners,
yeah,
and to any radio program,
right? And that's what people forget. The overnight audience is there, and they're vibrant, and there's a lot going on. So yeah, we'll you know, as everybody's getting settled now, we will talk. We'll talk to the boys later. How do you feel about Keytars? Now, since we were talking, I wanted to ask you that before, and we got
Keytars.
The Keytar.
I mean, it just seems like a more difficult way to play a keyboard.
Yeah, and you're a keyboard, you know.
As a keyboard enthusiast, I don't really understand it. I'm a little bit more of a purist.
I understand.
I want that Casio sitting right in front of me, nice little, you know.
Yeah. What about the, do you ever watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert? I know you're here at work.
Yeah, I know Nick watches it every single night. I watch it when I've got CBS All Access that I can watch Big Brother. And
somebody asked me yesterday, you ever watch Big Brother?
No. You should. It's amazing.
I watched the first season of Big Brother. That was, 72 years ago?
Yeah.
When the first season came on?
Me and Nick love Big Brother.
Do you you guys watch Big Brother?
Yeah, we watch it. It's on three nights a week.
Sure it is.
And we watch
it. Because it's summer and it's cheap.
It's cheap. And Nick even, he'll watch Big Brother After Dark on Pop Channel.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is great. He's a full-on fiend when it comes to Big Brother.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't. See, I'm an Amazing Race guy. That's as far
Amazing
as I
Race
go
is
in,
great.
That's as far as I go in reality television.
Is that CBS as
that
well?
That is CBS as well.
They're the kings of reality television.
Well, yeah, they've got Survivor, Amazing Race. They got Big Brother.
Now they've got Love Island.
Sure, I have not watched Love Island. I saw the previews for Love Island while I was watching the finale of The Race. But that's all I know about Love Island. Is this where the people just go and they hump, right? Just an island full of people trying to hump? Like dogs. It should just be called Dog Island. Am I wrong on my synopsis of the program? I think that's
no.
what they're trying to do. It's just because they're... Is this kind of an updated Temptation Island? Are you old enough to remember Temptation Island?
I'm not old enough.
That was a Fox show, which the same thing. It was basically
when was Temptation Island roughly ballpark?
Oh, boy, less than 10 years ago, maybe.
I didn't watch. Well, then I was alive for it. I just
well,
didn't
sure you
watch
were alive.
It. Yeah,
It wasn't, but it was the same kind of thing. All these hot people went to an island, they humped, and then
yeah, this
you know,
is basically that, except it's. You know, it's like that, except this is a version coming from overseas. Apparently, Love Island is like a big deal in the UK.
Okay.
That's been a show over there. Much like Big Brother is an export from like originally Sweden.
Is that right?
According to one listener told us, yeah, it's like a Swedish show.
And what do they do? Just watch eight people try to put together IKEA furniture? That's the whole thing for the house?
I was like, I could do that. You know,
I can't. Those IKEA instructions are crazy. But anyway, so
Love Island is coming.
Love
to
Island
us.
Is
it's
coming.
An international sensation. They're finally they're Americanizing it. So you know, it's one of those things.
Now, are you gonna get sucked into Love Island?
I don't know.
Will you dock your love barge at Love Island? Try to dismount?
I don't think so. The reason I like Big Brother is because it's not it's a game of human relationships. Okay. Obviously, there's fun little challenges that they
sure.
do to mix it up. But
don't they catapult each other into water walls or something?
Yeah, sometimes. You know, that's every other season.
Is it Julie Chen Moonves is there?
Yeah, but it's a game where people manipulate each other.
Yes,
and it's fascinating. I love that. It's like Lord of the Flies, except no one dies. And no one gets
yet.
There's no weird like you know subtext with the schoolboys. it's all out there in the open.
There's some humping on that show too.
Yeah,
isn't
sometimes,
there?
Yeah, yeah, there is a little showmance as
show.
As the fans
oh,
call it.
The showmance. Well, one of the former champions was in a racer on this year's Amazing Race.
Really,
young blonde woman. I can't remember her name. I want to say Rachel. Mm. But then I want to say Becky, because those both seem like names of
sure.
reality, blonde reality contestants.
Yeah, no, that's the previous contestants are like celebrities to Big Brother fans, but like it's on a whole nother level. Every time they bring them in to, they'll help host challenges.
Oh,
in
okay.
a new season, they'll come back and be like, hey, it's winner from season 18.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to do this challenge with you. And people go nuts because there's folks that have been watching this for like, you know, decades.
Sure.
And they're huge fans. And these are like their gods. These are people that they spend an entire summer with.
Well,
so
that's kind of what they do that on all the shows, because this season on The Amazing Race, it was past racers plus some people from Big Brother and Survivor. So they had teams for. Remember, Rupert, do you ever watch Survivor? I haven't watched that since like the first two seasons.
I watched it a lot as a kid because it was some of the only American television I could get because I was living in Singapore
at the time.
Yeah. So some of the only American television I could get was Survivor, and that's 70s show. So
oh my God.
Really into Survivor.
Wow. So, well, they had Rupert and his wife and a couple other Survivor people and then some Big Brother people. And the Big Brother team came in fourth. They almost made it to the final three. But then it was just Amazing Race people that went. So that was that. All right. I love it. Tom, you see me prepping for the show. And you know, I know people think, boy, Anuna comes in, he just pretty much wings it. That guy must roll in about 7 seconds before the program and then just hope that he can find something to talk about. You see, I have all this stuff, and we haven't gotten to any of it. And I am so, I couldn't be more happy about that, actually.
Once Gallagher bailed on us,
that Gallagher, I'll tell you what, I see Andy Mazur in there laughing. Andy, a fan of Gallagher? He's busy. He's busy writing his first sports. Maybe we'll talk to him later.
I'll smash Gallagher's melon.
Listen, you know, Gallagher's dead to me now. Gallagher dead. Niedermeyer dead. All of them. I don't need Gallagher. You know what I got instead? I got a weather forecast. Right here from the WGN Weather Center. That beats talking to Gallagher any day of the week. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hit it. There, I just smashed the weather. It's just like having Gallagher on.
There you go.
I like that our triple play requesters are not picking just the hits. I like that we're getting some deeper cuts.
Yeah, this is all deep cut ELO.
And now, would this make the playlist for your all-keyboard ELO tribute band?
I would say so.
Or did you just stay with the hits?
We started out with the hits.
Well, you got to play the hits, of course. That's what people come to hear.
Living
Thing.
Especially
from a tribute band.
Evil Woman. Yeah. Mr.
Telephone
Blue
Line.
Telephone Line. Got to do Telephone Line. Yeah. But I'm going to add, that's Wild West Hero by ELO.
Going to add that to the playlist?
Oh, yeah.
For when you're working next year's Rib Fest? Opening for a Billy Idol tribute band.
Yeah, five guys on keyboards trying to recreate ELO. Yeah.
Would that be the name of the band? Five guys on keyboards?
Yeah.
I love it.
But, you know, people might come to me like, oh, maybe they'll have burgers or something.
No.
Five guys on keyboards? Nope.
Nope.
It's
we
five
have keyboards.
Actual guys.
I saw a band at a couple of fests that I used to work called Five Guys Named Mo.
Did they play the band Mo?
No. Or? I don't, and I'm not sure to this day if they were all actually named Mo.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think that might have just been some sort of marketing scheme that they thought worked. They're not a good band, good cover band, nice party band for a fest. But
I love cover bands.
There's nothing wrong with a good cover. Listen, I don't want to be on a street fest or you know, one of these kind of things, because one, I love drinking beer on the street. So I'm there. I'm in a good mood anyway. I love just stay, not just randomly. Like, I'm not going to walk out
no
of here after
you
work.
Love New Orleans. Can you open container?
Please. Yeah. New Orleans is open everything.
That's what I figured. I just wanted to know if the legality was there.
Yeah.
People just do it.
No. It's legal.
Okay.
It's to go. What do you want? Get it to go. Because there, when I first started going there, I would be, you know, at the end of a meal or if we were somewhere and there was, you know, we had like half a drink left. And I go, oh, well, we got to stay indoors. No, here's your to-go cup, sir. Ha ha. And I go. The point being, if I'm out at about at a festival or something, I don't want to hear some band up there doing experimental new cuts. I love a good cover band, especially if they're really good and they, you know, you hear them play a song and you go, that sounds exactly like pick your band, Bon Jovi, ELO, you know, Brad Paisley. I know you can't wait for a Brad Paisley cover band to be somewhere so you can go and sit out in your Stetson.
Yeah. Well, you know me, I'm just going to be a big country fan soon.
I know you are.
And I want everybody to know, again, no ill will towards Brad Paisley. Seems like a real stand-up guy. He's just, he wouldn't want to hang out in the places that I
hang out. All have preferences. It's okay to, see, this is the problem. This is the problem with this country today. This is as political as we're going to get this morning because it's the 4th of July. We think now that we all have to like the same things and think the same way. We don't. That's on the country's birthday. It's important to remember that it's all right to have differing opinions. Tom may not be a great big fan of Brad Paisley. You may love Brad Paisley. It's okay. there's a lot of music. It's not like there's only one music. It's not like there's only one sports team. We can like different things. It's all right. The one thing we can all agree that we do not like are people who are gross. And this woman, you've probably seen this story, a video of a woman licking ice cream and then returning it to the store freezer. Dave, I see you're there. Have you heard this story? You're an award-winning journalist. Did you see this story?
No, but I am reminded of numerous times where I've been standing in line at various supermarkets in our fair city.
Yes.
And people will have a container of ice cream that they will pay for, but they've already broken it open and are eating.
I see, and I've seen people do that kind of thing, too.
And potato chips.
Yes, if you're that hungry, have lunch before you go shopping.
What are you thinking about here? You know, you're eating in front of everybody. You will pay for it, but you haven't yet. So, therefore, it's not yours.
Yes, technically, you're stealing it. Even though in another 4 feet, it will be yours. But right now, you are a thief.
So, the woman...
So, she goes to the freezer... And unfortunately, everybody knows what brand. It was Bluebell ice cream. So she goes to the freezer, and she opens the Bluebell ice cream, and she licks it. And this is all being taped or recorded. And then you hear a voice telling her, oh, put it back in the freezer, put it back in the freezer. So she licks this ice cream, closes it up, and puts it back in the freezer, and then walks away.
Unreal.
And people went crazy, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And so then they start...
And she's probably thinking, well, what did I do? Yeah. What did I do? I didn't do anything.
No, she's fine. She just wanted to taste it. Well, people start sending Bluebell Creameries all these tweets. Hey, somebody's licking your ice cream. What's going on? it was tin roof flavored, if that makes any difference. People calling it psychotic, which I agree with. But so Bluebell then is forced to comment. Because now...
Oh, sure. They have no choice but to comment.
Sure. And people are like, how come you don't seal your ice cream? And they're like, well, we do seal it. It's naturally sealed because what happens is when we fill the half gallons or the pints, we turn them upside down and then we send them into the freezer room. So when it freezes, it creates a natural seal. So you'll know if your ice cream has been opened when you get it. You know, if you get it home and the top just comes right off, well, something's wrong. It should be kind of... stuck on there, and there's food safety is their top priority. But
that's not the company's fault.
It's definitely not the company's fault. It's not the supermarket's fault. It's one woman's fault.
That's right.
It's the tonguey woman. You know, miss, I gotta lick it up. This is not a bad Kiss song. This is actual life. I sometimes just want to shake my head and throw up my hands and give up on humanity, Dave. Because I
hear
stories like this, and I'm like, who thinks that's not even a good idea, just something that you can do? Where did you grow up? What hole did you crawl out of? What rock did you come out from under to think, yeah, this is acceptable behavior for me to do?
Nobody's going to know.
In this day and age, everybody's
going to know
everything.
You are on candid camera
all
everywhere,
the time.
Everywhere.
Why do you think I continue to wear pants in here, even though I don't want to? Because everybody knows.
Now, let's talk about getting gross here.
Listen, I take that as an insult, Dave. Why would you think that me without pants is gross? Some people might think it's beautiful. Tom is traumatized.
Tom, I guess.
I've got the 1,000-yard stare.
He just can't believe that HR is closed for the holidays. Because now he's got to wait.
He's going to go in the other production room and work now.
Yeah, I don't blame him. It's a remote. I'm going to remote produce. What? I've never heard of that. Yeah, I'll be home.
I've invented it.
He's going to go in the other room. You can come in here, Tom.
Oh, Eloise wants to jump in on this.
This is a fully clothed newsroom.
I'm fully clothed because we're on camera, Dave.
Yes, we are.
That's why. So thank your lucky stars. That's all I'm saying. It is? Oh, Steve.
It's what?
Oh, okay. No, I was like...
You were reading the caller ID.
Oh, yes. Hi, Steve.
Hello?
Hello. Steve,
hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Happy holidays, buddy. I won on your contest a couple of years ago where I won a pizza or something answering the questions. I remember I was on against a teacher, and she got the final wrong, and I got it right, and I won.
There you go. Congratulations.
Yeah, Steve, the limo driver. How are you? Hey, remember Kev Matthews used to have a bit on his show that, let me turn my radio down. I'm sorry. That the people would call in on their from their offices, and they'd be in their lunchroom and go into the refrigerator or the people's lunchboxes and do stuff to their lunch items.
Oh,
do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but that's horrible.
Yeah, I forget the name of the bit, but Kev was quite the creative guy back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. No, that would make me furious. Make me furious. Steve, drive careful. Happy holidays. Glad to talk to you.
You too.
Take care. I think Steve was driving through a wind tunnel. It was very... Roll up your window. Yeah. Two things when you call in, roll up your window and turn down your radio. But drive safely.
Yeah.
Because now we're in that new law. We got that new law. You can't even touch your phone. Can't touch your phone at all unless you're pulled over to the side of the road and the car is in park.
Makes my... My road trip's really difficult because every time I want to change the song on my phone.
Oh, you can't do that.
Can't do that.
You got to have somebody ride with you.
Yeah.
Or pull over after every song.
Yeah.
That's going to make the trip.
Now I just throw on GN. I'm just like, I'm going to see who's on right now. Oh, it's Bill and Wendy. Nice.
Nice. All right. Let's, what time is it? Oh, my gosh. It's news time, isn't it? Yeah, it's 4:30. You know how I know it's news time? Schwani popped back in my monitor. That's how I can tell.
I'm here.
I know you're there. You're there and you're ready to go. So I'm going to say, in about 10 seconds, Dave, I'm going to come to you. Ooh. I'm going to like this triple play.
A great American who is Canadian.
Neil Young. Very nice.
Yep.
Very nice.
Neil Young?
Yeah.
Of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
I could do without the other three.
Oh, wow. Really?
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not huge into...
Wow, you don't like harmonies?
I don't like... I don't like Crosby, Stills, Nash.
I heard just the other day, the long version of Judy Blue Eyes. That song is 50 years old. It still sounds good.
Yeah. Still good. Still good, and Tom still
just give me nothing but Young. I'm here. I'm all here for Young.
All right, who's picking the Youngs?
That's coming to us from Jim in Woodstock.
All right, Jim in Woodstock. Thank you very much, Jerry. Commenting on something that we were talking about before the news. Right now, someone in your supermarket licking your ice cream. It may be something else. You never know, Jerry. Don't know. Nobody should be. If you haven't paid for it, don't eat it. Don't lick it. Wait till you get outside to eat your food. You heard me. Yeah. Just
better yet, wait till you get home.
Wait till you get home. Then eat it and lick it. Good morning, Dave.
Can I go home now?
Yeah, Dave Schwad here. He could go home. Dave Plyer coming in at 5, unless he heard that, and then just turned his car around and decided he's not coming in. Yes?
I was just going to say, I hope you're ready to be back on the show next Friday.
Oh, for Out of Context?
A little Straight Out of Context.
Yeah, well, that's all right. That's fine. It's the 4th of July. Do you have any traditions for 4th of July, Mr. Schwan? Anything you do every 4th of July?
The last few years, I've been working.
Well, there's your tradition.
So I guess that's a tradition. Sure. Anymore, I guess the 4th of July tradition is to join Dave and Andy on the morning show.
Ah, very
WGN.
Nice.
And then tomorrow, I do actually have a full day off, so I will be spending time with Dad.
Very nice.
He needs a little work on his car, so we're going to take care of that and hang out and have lunch and enjoy the day. Hopefully it won't, and hopefully we won't get, you know, some torrential downpours and thunderstorms tonight. You don't want to ruin all the fireworks displays. And
yeah,
the
well, that's,
everybody.
You know, according to this weather forecast, could be happening.
It could. So,
because what Oak Brook canceled theirs for last night and tonight because the fields were flooded.
Oh,
that's why Oak Brook had to cancel theirs. But there's a lot of weird traditions that go on the 4th of July. Do you have any of those, Tom? Or do you do anything weird for the 4th of July? Well, you're working.
Yeah,
you're working tonight or this morning, and you're working tomorrow morning.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, nothing. I mean, normally I'd go see my Uncle Jared.
Yeah.
He makes a mean rack of ribs.
Is that right?
Yeah, very good. Very good ribs.
Does he cater? You know, we're going to be here tomorrow night.
I wish.
Tomorrow morning.
I bet if I called them and I said, hey, Jared, it's Tommy. It's Tommy Hush.
And I'll go, who?
Because there's a lot of Tommy, you know, from an Irish side of the family, there's a lot of Tommies. So, like, it's Tommy Hush. You know, maybe you could hook me up with some ribs, yeah. But we'll see.
Well, good for now. Nowadays, our tradition is I ask my wife to make some potato salad, and then, like, I'll sleep. I'll get up and I'll grill some brats and we'll have some potato salad and then I'll come back in here. So it's
nice.
A big thing. Yeah. And try to calm the dogs so they don't go crazy during the fireworks.
I always feel really bad. I'm not a dog person, not really a huge animal person, but that really hits me where I live is knowing that animals are so scared.
Yeah, you just try to you do whatever you can to calm them.
Yeah.
You know, it's we had some dogs back in the day that would go and hop in the bathtub. That's where they felt safe. Others would go down in the basement. One of the ones we have now just kind of follows us around, and as long as she's near us, she's cool. The other one just lays on the couch like a lump. He doesn't, nothing bothers him. He's like, whatever. I'm not going out. Going back to our lady licking the ice cream, I saw this other story too. Somebody from the 708, or Glenn in Oak Lawn texted. Also a story about a customer at a Walmart who ate half the cake in the store, then she wanted to just pay for half. Yeah, she wanted, that was, I think, was that Kansas? It was somewhere out in the plains. It's a plain state. Oh, no, David is going to try. I hope he doesn't gross us out. Hi, David.
Hi. I work nights a lot, so sometimes on my off nights, I go shopping. And 9 out of 10 times, there's usually this woman in front of me who has 2 kids, and they give the kids bananas, and when they check out, they put the banana peels along with 2 or 3 bananas on a belt, and then the cashier would weigh the bananas and throw away the peels.
Oh, jeez. Well, they're lucky. They're lucky they're only weighing the peels. I guess you get some kind of discount for feeding your kids bananas in the store. I don't get that. If your kids are that hungry, bring a little bag of Cheerios. You need to be weighing empty banana peels.
Right. Yeah. She's like, well, you won't let one of the kids is crying because she just grabbed the rest of bananas and put them on a belt and to pay for them, and one of the other kids is crying because saw the other bananas disappear. So she's got to train those kids a little bit better than what she's training them. Trying to keep them quiet in the store, giving them bananas so they don't cry.
Yeah, if it works, as a parent, I know sometimes you're desperate. Desperate times demand desperate actions. If your kid needs a banana to shut up, sometimes you give them the banana, shut them up. And then, you know, if the store's cool with just charging them for banana peels, okay, good for you, I guess. David, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
I would do that, maybe.
You'd give your kid a banana?
I can see the appeal.
Good, Bolden. I'm done.
The
you can finish
appeal.
Up. You can take the next, take the next 19. I'm tapping out, Dave. I'm done. Tommy's gonna finish it up.
Yeehaw.
He's going to take it. He's going to do all Brad Paisley and bad jokes. It's going to be a great last night. Well, it can't be any worse than what's been going on for the last 3 hours and 41 minutes.
What are you talking about?
All right, just a couple weird 4th of July traditions before I read the longest weather forecast in the history of weather forecasting. I'm kidding.
I do this for you. I do this to make the show.
That is not an
attack. And this is the response I get.
Listen, that is not an attack. It is just a fact. That is a long... I'm doing the 14-day forecast, which is good because I don't know what's going to happen mid-July. I'm calling for locusts and steady breezes.
Remember when we had all the locusts about, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago? What are you laughing at?
Because before you came in, we had talked about how I had this show all planned out, and I've done zero. Zero. I've started a couple things.
That's what makes
like
this
7
fun.
Times. Oh, it makes it. I said I'm the happiest. I'm the happiest I've ever been. None of this stuff. Like I'm Listen, I've teased this weird 4th of July tradition. Maybe I do it tomorrow. Maybe I don't do it at all. But yes, I do remember the locusts because I love the sound of them. Now, the layman calls them cicadas, David. But I'm with you. I'm like locusts because I look at a biblical plague.
That's right. Pestilence.
Yes. I read pestilence delivered on us. You know why? Because we're the kind of people who lick ice cream and put it back in the freezer and then eat half a cake at Walmart. We deserve a little pestilence.
I saw a guy at a store, you know how they'll sell a box of dozen donuts, you know, boxes.
Sure.
He didn't like the ones that were in one box, but liked the ones in another.
No.
So he mixed and matched right there.
Oh, don't touch food that anybody else. See, this is why people say to me, you know, sometimes you sound like you don't like people. I go, sometimes. Yeah, for the most part, because people are disappointing. A lot. Present company excluded, of course, because you've never, you know, you've never really grabbed any food that I might be eating.
No.
From the 312, I'm against consuming any food before leaving the store. It's uncouth and bordering criminal.
There you go.
People that walk in a store and pick up grapes to eat without buying are the worst. Yeah, you see that all the time. Well, I'm just sampling them. You know what a grape tastes
pick
like.
Pick up a couple of grapes off of a whole group
come
of them?
Come on. Unless you've just come down from another planet, you've had a grape. And if you haven't had a grape, trust me, just buy them. You're going to enjoy them when you get them home.
Gold star for the use of uncouth. I think that's a word that doesn't get a lot of use. So
bravo,
gold star.
Bravo, 312 texter. Somebody you used the word zenith before. Somebody was very excited about that.
I only know that word because that was a brand of television.
Really?
Yeah, Zenith TV.
I know Zenith.
You remember Zenith television.
I remember Zenith televisions. I find it hard to believe that that's the only way Tom knows that word. Tom is a fairly intelligent human being. I'm finding it difficult to believe that his knowledge of vocabulary comes only from brands.
Well, my grandma had a Zenith TV. And I said, Nanny, what does that mean? What does Zenith mean? And she told me. She's like, well, it's a brand, but it means the best.
Your favorite music is when Sam sing? Samsung?
what do you call a computer that can sing? Adele.
Oh.
Wow. It is getting late. That's how you could tell. Tom is getting a little happy with the slappy. I've drank 5 beers out of a 12-pack and then left it in the aisle and got a 6-pack to go. That from the 773. All right. Well, good for you. Oh, the perfect couth.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
I love this.
Oh, man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
Amazing album.
Yeah. Now, who picked this one again? Was this you?
This was Jim.
Jim and Woodstock. Thank you, Jim. Neil Young, very nice.
I'm back in high school now.
Yeah?
Mm.
Singing that to Old Man?
Old Man and Heart of Gold.
Yeah.
That was a big hit.
That's not our. Do we have one more? Are we going to have one more bump, or was that it?
I could probably throw one in right before the news, but we won't get to the full triple play. Sometimes that happens.
Oh, man.
Every once in a while,
I feel ripped off. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
What do you want me to do, man?
I believe it in 10 minutes. I've had enough. I, you know what makes me sad? A fire at a distillery. This is sad news.
Oh, yeah.
You see this? A Jim Beam warehouse caught fire. Firefighters continued to battle the blaze into the night because the alcohol was burning. It's in Versailles, Kentucky, which is a name that shouldn't really go together. Versailles and Kentucky.
Why not?
Listen.
Where do you think the name bourbon comes from?
I know, but Kentucky... Versailles seems ornate and classy, and Kentucky... It's Kentucky. I like Kentucky. I like horses and bluegrass and bourbon, but they don't mesh. But that's all right. Anyway, 40 firefighters from 5 counties were there. Second warehouse also caught fire. 45,000 barrels of whiskey. 45,000 barrels. Boy, we were talking about gas prices going up. I got a feeling Jim Beam prices are going to be going up.
It's sad.
It's very sad.
I'm not a big Jim Beam guy, but, yeah. You know, it's sad to hear. That's people's livelihood, mainly.
It's a lot of jobs. That's a lot of work done.
Exactly.
It was still burning, so that was tragic. All right, I'm going to do one thing that I said I was going to do.
One thing.
These are some weird 4th of July traditions from across the nation. If you happen to be heading out to Bar Harbor, Maine later today, Dave, you're going to be there. Perfect time for lobster racing. Pedigree lobsters race against time and each other. People even place bets and egg the lobsters on. Some of the animals don't know. Some go forward, some stay put, some leave the track entirely. But it's very funny. So lobster racing in Bar Harbor, Maine. I've never been to Maine.
Oh, it's great.
It's a state that I'd like to go. I know Bill Leff goes every year. He loves Maine. He can't say enough about Maine.
Well, you know, I try to go up there because I'm a Stephen King guy.
Oh,
so I like to go up there, check it out.
Sure. You ever seen a cat come back to life? Of course not. What about Ocean Beach? Ocean? Wow. Hey, there's Dave Plyer. Ocean Beach, just like shiny objects. Oh, look. Ocean Beach, California, they have a marshmallow fight. I don't know why. They throw marshmallows at each other. In previous years, the fight has gotten out of control and become violent, which doesn't seem possible. You're throwing marshmallows, not bricks. But it has recently calmed down, so that's in Ocean Beach, California. Computer trap shooting. Now, see, we were just talking about how Kentucky does not go with Versailles. Where do they do computer trap shooting? Kentucky. Kentucky, you can find the great 4th of July tradition of shooting obsolete electronic devices. Participants donate their old computers. Kentuckians with guns go to town, blowing up every piece of circuit board and screen they see. Great way to let out all your technology-related anger. But it does not seem safe. It doesn't seem smart. And yet, there they are, blowing things up. We've got a couple more. Tug of war. There's doesn't say what state this is in. But the cities of Bolinas and Stinson Beach have a tug of war. Every 4th of July, the two towns reignite a feud, pulling a rope back and forth across the Bolinas Channel. That separates them with both men and women's competitions. Bolinas apparently has 200-pound weight minimum and has fed its participant whale blubber meat. In the past, Stinson has previously utilized 500-pound Samoans. You can't call in ringers for a tug-of-war, Samoan ringers. So it's California. UC Berkeley rowing team, the San Francisco Golden Gate rugby team, and a Jeep to pull them to victory. And finally, what could be the oddest, if you are going to Haley, Idaho, Dateline Haley, Idaho, hello. Each year, they play a glorious game of Road Apple Roulette. Yes. Participants buy squares out of the 10,000 for the annual 4th of July parade path. Then they compete with horses that drop road apples along the way. If the apples land in the square you bought, your name goes in a drum and you can win a big prize. Very, very excited. Have you ever seen it? We did a fundraiser. I forget what school. It was one of the schools my daughter was attending over her years. It was like elementary school, I think, where they did a cow plop bingo, where they set up a grid in a field, and then they brought in a cow and let the cow wander around. The cow did what cows do when they wander around in a field. And if it landed in your square, you're a big winner. I forget what you won. But you won something. This just goes to show we've run out of good ideas for games. If we're watching a cow wander around, believe it. I paid money. I bought squares.
So you buy the square.
You buy a square.
You say, oh, the cow is going to.
The cow's going to wander over.
Put down a cow pad.
B8, and drop one.
Okay.
And if it drops in B8, man, oh man, win a chicken dinner. Which was not the prize, because that would be gross. How'd you win that chicken dinner? Oh, you don't want to know.
Yeah, we had to kill it in front of the kids. You know, it was bad. Yeah, it was bad. Bad news.
It was just horrible. So, yes. So, I've actually done that before, and it is a sad, sad. You pull up a regular seat there. Dude, you don't get to come in. You don't get to come in during cow plop bingo and just sit there and pretend. Dave Plyer is here because it's 4th of July, and it's an annual tradition that you're in for. You're in for Steve on other days,
I'm
but you're always
boy.
Here the 4th of July. Yeah,
I'm you and holiday me both. Boy. Yeah, right. I know you are.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, buddy.
So what's going on?
What is going on in life?
Well, in general,
my wife's mad at me.
Oh, what'd
again.
You do? What'd you do this time?
Well, I always go up to Wisconsin and then leave her there with the whole family to come do the show.
See, but I think that's a great move. That's a great move.
I had a great night's sleep.
Yeah. Sure, because you can come home and then listen, they're up there having fun, and you go back the show, right?
Right after the show.
Yeah, so you're back before they're all done with brunch.
I'm back probably right for the rain today.
Oh, yeah.
What a crazy, like, in the last few weeks, the rain always shifts. Like when you're looking at the weather map, like, oh, it's later and later every time. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's never moved today. Like,
no.
It's 10 o'clock.
Today's going to be bad, which is perfect for sleeping for me, but horrible for everybody else.
It's true.
Now, where in Wisconsin, you probably don't want to disclose because you're in a super secret compound,
right? Thousands of people that will show.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know what you do up there, but I know it's very secret. You have a compound.
Yes,
you're almost
a compound.
Like Dr. Evil.
There
you're in a little mountain with your face on it. And
people
you
say
live
I look
there.
Like Dr. Evil, which is really nice of you to say that.
No, you're wonderful. You're Dr. Wonderful, Dave.
There is one place I will go to that I will mention. It's and I've heard of Schnalla, which I have never been to Schnalla.
Nor have I.
And it sounds fabulous.
Yes.
And he's only open in the summer, right? Is
right,
that his
yeah.
thing? Yeah. Is the Duck Inn up in Delavan. It's like farmland.
Yes, I've heard of that.
It is way, 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 like, in deep into farmland. So it's not in, like, Delavan proper or whatever. But
you got to go looking for it.
It's a bunch of houses sewn together. And he's got and this is what I love about this. Because, you go to some Wisconsin places and the food's like, okay.
Yeah.
This guy's got a real chef. He's got the old bar. He's got a duck as a phone, like a quacks when it rings and stuff. And he serves grasshoppers.
How's the old fashioned?
Phenomenal.
All right.
Like classic. Yeah, that's
really?
The big thing. Yeah, and they're fish fry. Yeah, it's like old school. And Merck's cheese, you just eat like pounds of it with breadsticks. And
that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's good. So that's the one like center point of my evening.
Listen, you got everybody has certain things where they go.
That's all I cared about all week.
Yeah, really. Then
a breadstick with some Merck's cheese on it.
Oh,
I can get that at the
Jewels,
but you know.
No, you can't. You can't have a duck phone quacking in the background.
That's right.
A nice old fashioned that you didn't have to make yourself. Somebody brings it to you.
That's true.
It's perfect.
That is true.
Now, you're giving away a grill today? Is that what I hear?
Well, we're giving away a grill. Yeah, during the 8:30 half hour, we'll have Kevin Coleman in to give away a grill. And then we've got, it's pretty cool, we got... talking to the other side, since we're at the Sox station now, I got Joe Madden at 8 o'clock.
I don't know who that
half
is.
Hour. Yeah, I don't know either. We'll find out though.
Because he's got the big charity stuff.
The big charity stuff, and I hate to say it, but in the world of radio, there's certain things you can and can't talk about when you have commitments to other stations.
Sure.
But we were allowed to talk a little baseball, so we'll do a little of that because Crosstown. Of course.
Yeah, this weekend.
This weekend again, yeah. Yeah. So
we'll
do that.
Well, it sounds like fun.
It should be fun, sir. It's always fun listening to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's always great to see you. We'll talk soon. Dave Plyer coming in for Steve Cochran in just a matter of minutes. He's been here. He's been here since like 2 o'clock. Is that right?
Yeah, I saw him sleeping
yesterday
in the hallway.
Yeah, he just comes in.
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
He's always here. He's the hardest working man in show business. I hear from Wisconsin. Everybody in Wisconsin was like, please, have him relax. Why didn't you relax? They don't even know. The people at the Duck Inn were calling. He won't even eat his steak. He's so busy prepping his show. Dave Plyer coming up in just a minute. We got to do this. What do we got? Like a big 27-second break?
Huge.
Huge. All right, we're going to do this, and we'll say goodbye. It's WGN.